InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. He's on a mission in Florida, but we will be hearing from him extensively in this first hour. He went on American Journal with Brianna Morella this morning and covered this. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a historic civil rights lawsuit filed by us today, a countersuit against all of the manipulation and underhanded activity that we've been saddled with over the Sandy Hook lawsuit. So Alex Jones broke it down in full with Brandon Morello, and we'll go to that clip in just about 5 minutes when we come back from a short commercial break. Today is Friday the 13th. A lucky Friday the 13th, we hope, for us. It also happens to be 1 week since the Epstein files were released, and still bombshell information is being discovered on a regular basis, and we'll bring you some updates for that. We've got the rumors and rumblings of war still to cover. U.S. is sending its largest warship to the Middle East. Again, the Epstein files are actually having an impact and making a difference everywhere except for America, where a top UK civil servant has now quit as the government aims to calm the Epstein storm. So again, all over the world, there are massive consequences to the Epstein files. It's just in America, we seem incapable of dealing with it, or at least our leadership seems unwilling to confront what it contains. We also have allegations against Jared Kushner surfacing in the bombshell complaint against Tulsi Gabbard as they attempt to oust her, as they have the entire time that she's been in office, because she's effective. And this is a pattern that we're seeing with the Trump administration. And at this point, it's almost complete. All of the good people are being expelled, or at least harassed continuously. Tulsi Gabbard can't get a break, but she's working behind the scenes doing a heck of a lot of good stuff. RFK Jr. has been racking up wins for the last year, but they're harassing him endlessly. Obviously, Pete Hegseth has been the victim of repeated media scandal trying to oust him from office because he refuses to put American lives at risk without a damn good reason to do so. We also have the firing of the top antitrust person, Gail. She has been ousted. And again, the rumors I'm hearing is that she was one of the only good people in the administration. Ed Martin, of course, very powerful fighter in the Trump administration, been forced out. So systematically, all of the good people from the Trump administration seem to be under a lot of pressure to be removed, or at least not able to do their job. So we're going to get into all of that and what may be behind it. But we have a lot more to come. It's also another anniversary. So 7 days since Epstein, Friday the 13th, major civil rights lawsuit. It also happens to be the 9th year anniversary of myself being interviewed and hired here at InfoWars. This is my 9th anniversary at InfoWars. And what an honor it has been and continues to be. And of course, I got hired as a cameraman and editor. But InfoWars really is, we really do embody the libertarian spirit. And as long as I got what I was supposed to do done, I sort of got to do whatever else I wanted to do. And hey, if it works, you keep doing it. And if it doesn't, you have to stop. And that's just how InfoWars works. So I started making content, started putting out some reports. Eventually, we'd start doing the, 34-hour broadcast overnight. And they needed somebody to sit in from that 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning time slot. And so that would be me. And I, got some training. Eventually, was able to sit here. But in this time, I mean, when I started, we had one studio, one show. The nightly news had just started up. But since then, we've built this studio. We built the American Journal studio. We've built the podcast studio and the satellite studio so that we can always continue to broadcast no matter what happens in this building. Every year, we have continued to grow and expand and build thanks to your help at thealexjonesstore.com. So when we get back on the other side, we're going to go right into a video of Alex Jones explaining the latest in the lawsuit, our countersuit seeking to bring down the deep state that's tried to destroy us. We are fighting back because of your help at thealexjonesstore.com. Support us, and we will continue to fight, continue to grow, continue to keep them on the run. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
One of the things you've been talking about on your show is your allegation that government officials are aiding in pedophilia, child trafficking, and the grooming of children, right?
Well, you mean like what Jeffrey Epstein did with the Clintons?
Big news happening over here at InfoWars. Alex Jones, well, he's clapping back when it comes to his lawsuit. As many of you guys know, it's the Sandy Hook lawsuit that I'm referring to. Alex had several of his constitutional rights violated in all of this, and he's answering back by now filing a lawsuit of his own. It is his second amended counterclaim in the bankruptcy court right now. That was just filed yesterday in Houston, Texas, at the federal level. And Alex is joining us now live to discuss. Alex, I'm glad you're here right now and you're going to detail for our audience exactly what this means. I know there were several constitutional rights that you personally had violated in all of this. So break down your latest filing.
Well, most of the regular listeners know the incredible 6-7 year saga of the deplatforming, the demonization, Bloomberg's gun control group being behind it. They raised with their Sandy Hook charities over $300 million off of my name, saying I was persecuting them and I wasn't. They then sued me. They had two political judges default me, saying I was guilty, didn't comply with discovery. In our lawsuit, we showed none of that's true. And then we show how the Justice Department was involved with their chief counsel in Connecticut. They admit going and setting up the suit, recruiting the people. And then all the things that happened after that, particularly with the judge in Connecticut, and that's the basic conspiracy against rights. And when people team up with the state to deprive someone of their rights, and we've seen this with Mike Lindell last year. He was defaulted by the federal judge in Minnesota. Anybody can type in, judge finds Mike Lindell guilty in Smartmatic case. And the judge didn't see any evidence, nothing, just said, you cannot connect to a Smartmatic machine wirelessly or to the internet. Well, they're designed to do that, but he wouldn't see the evidence. Now Smartmatic's in a lot of trouble. There's been indictments, same thing with Dominion. Now they've dropped their cases on others. They've tried to now settle with Lindell. He announced 2 weeks ago on my show, and he said, no way. He's going to go ahead with the jury trial later this year in Minnesota, where the judge has already found him guilty. But good luck, because now this is all going to be known. There it is. Judge rules my pillow guy, Mike Lindell, defends Smartmatic with false claims. So that's a default. That's only supposed to be if you, like, leave the country, don't respond at all. As Mike Cernovich, great lawyers, pointed out, he went and looked at the case years ago. I went to dozens of different depositions, close to about a dozen. I gave them everything. And when you actually read in our suit, they show how they defaulted me. They said that I wouldn't show them the Sandy Hook marketing material. Well, you work at InfoWars. There isn't marketing material for stories you cover. I don't even know what stories you're about to cover every day. You're a well-known journalist and reporter. Mm-hmm. So they said, no, we know you have that. That was one of the reasons. We tried to depose Hillary Clinton. They said that was another reason we were defaulted. And then they said that we wouldn't give them Google Analytics. Google Analytics is just an internal Google search engine of your website. Okay, so we barely ever even used it. Don Salazar, one of our writers, occasionally would see how his stories were doing. I never used it. Anybody can see that around the office. Everybody testified to that. They said, show us your Sandy Hook Google Analytics that I talked about Sandy Hook to make money. I barely ever talked about it, but that was their, that was the basis of their suit before they got me defaulted. Then they used all the stuff that they twisted in the show trials they had in Texas and Connecticut. There was all the so-called discovery. And the best they had was other people's emails unopened to us saying mean things about Sandy Hook people. That was all they had to show the jury, was people had ever opened the emails talking bad about them. Wow, that's terrible. I never said the names of any of the Sandy Hook families except one guy. They said it's the families. That's 20 families. It was only six people, not the families. They set up foundations that, again, raised over $300 million off of my name. It turned out the Justice Department funded the lawsuits to the exact amounts they were being billed to them with grants each time they were going to trial. So this is all in this lawsuit. And so when you read, it's called a counterclaim because we're already in a lawsuit with them. We've already filed one against them in the bankruptcy court. But this is amended with all the information we learned in the depositions with them in the last year and a half to great expense. And so this goes into all the different things that went on. Lawyers from the Paul Weiss Law Firm and others openly saying from the Koskoff firm and from the other Bankston firm that we don't want money. We want him off the air. We never want him to be able to do it again. We want to use him as patient zero to do this to other people. And now they've done it to Giuliani. They've done it to Mike Lindell. They've done it to countless people that are now totally vindicated on the Smartmatic and Dominion area. So the worm is turning here, and now we're going specifically into federal court, and we are saying we want it removed to another federal court out of the bankruptcy. And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going for best of my knowledge. People should read it themselves. And we are presenting all of this, and it gets worse. One of the biggest parts of the suit is they would quote things in a filing that were not even real quotes. Things I never said that were quotes out of a newspaper article that were never said. So I would say, I believe children died the few times I cover it, but this person is saying blah, 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 blah. They would cut that off. We've gone through all the videos at incredible expense for over a year and a half. I've got really high powered, well-known lawyers that have won very, very many of these cases, very famous defamation cases as well, like Ben Brooks and then other top, fraud lawyers and bankruptcy lawyers like Shelby Jordan, people who looked them up, very famous, well-known, respected lawyers. They've never seen anything like this. He was just involved in my bankruptcy the last 3 years. And as he saw this, he said, well, we're going to have to take action. And then in the last 3 years, he studied it all. And a whole bunch of craziness happened, fake auctions, all the rest of it. He then deposed him about that, found out what happened behind the scenes. I mean, this is incredible how reckless the bad guys were. And so not all the courts are corrupt. We know that. And so we are moving to get this, suit into a full trial because bankruptcy courts aren't designed to do full trials. And we want a full trial, not on overturning their fake judgments, their kangaroo trials, but on the fact they were kangaroo trials and a conspiracy with the state against a journalist and against a citizen in their own express admissions. So then all the damages and everything they've done to me are then reversed against them. And we have more we're planning. We have a lot we didn't obviously, show here in this hand. I'll just leave it at that. But we have very devastating information, ace of spades, multiple ones that are held back. And so this is a big deal. And that's why when listeners support us at thealexjonesstore.com that I don't own, so even if they're able to shut down InfoWars, which is imminent next month, they're trying again. They failed like five or six times. Thealexjonesstore.com with the supplements, the t-shirts, the rest of it, that funds the new network, the crew, the reporters, and the legal operation. So this is real war. And by hanging in, by folks praying for us, by the crew putting up with all the insanity that they put up with, being deposed, harassed, all the rest of it, my family as well. They sued my family, and of course, nothing was found there. They accused me in the federal bankruptcy courts and others of having hundreds of millions of hidden money. Turned out everything I said was true. They had me audited by three outside high-powered accounting firms, made us pay for it out of the estate. Money should be going to them. It never goes to them. It's any money they get, which is in over $10 million so far in my memory now around that. They then shove into the court to have three different huge outside accounting firms, one of them international, private investigators, and then the IRS audited us for a year, intense audit, found that I'd overpaid taxes $4.3 million in the last 5 years previous to that. That went into the estate, so that was money that went into the estate. And then they basically told the U.S. trustee, the Justice Department, to come into the bankruptcy. They can do that if they want to just basically use it against us. They then sued my parents, drove them to the edge of bankruptcy. They're on the verge of losing their house. They have absolutely basically nothing anymore. They weren't even involved in anything. Didn't matter. They alleged that I had hidden all this money with them. Turned out it was exactly as I said. In fact, I actually owed my dad a little bit of money. And so what they got out of was a little farm that I never knew that time to go to, a tiny lake house I bought like 15 years ago. So for me, like, you know, $3.5 million worth of real estate and nothing else. And they claimed I had hundreds of millions of dollars in the trials. In the Texas trial, we couldn't respond. I was guilty already. So they put a guy on for a day and a half who never reviewed our files, never even seen our tax returns. We could not respond. And he said, Mr. Jones is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, he's hiding it all. And the jury we talked to later said, we decided you hadn't done anything that bad. So we gave him 10% of your wealth. So since you were worth $360 million, the guy said, with no documents, we gave him $45 million. And of course, you know, the best years I've ever had, I made like $6, $7 million. And I had to make that because of all the lawsuits. I had to make more money to pay the lawyers. So, you know, in most years of my life, I've made like $1 million, $1.5 million. My goal has never been to make money, but they said all this to create this illusion that I made all this money off them and that I had all this money hidden. And so they put me through this endless gauntlet and my family through this endless gauntlet. And of course, none of it was ever true. And then they were the ones holding a fake auction and telling the judge it was an auction and then selling it to themselves basically for nothing. And then saying the Onion owned it and then kicking us out of the building. But we went and filed with the federal judge. He said, no, this isn't a real auction. You said it was, but it wasn't. The Onion went on TV funded by Bloomberg and Everytown Gun Control Group, and said, that they did own it. And of course, before that, that was in November of 2024. That's how long we've held on. In May 31st, before that, the previous U.S. trustee from the Justice Department called up the private security company we've had for like almost 10 years, just a few armed guys in the building, you know, with handguns. They've got rifles and shotguns in their gun locker. But they called the parent company and said, I am a U.S. federal agent. You are going to go on this Friday night. You're going to shut the building out and kick them all out. And the head of the company said, well, I need a court order or a warrant or something. And they said, no, I am a federal officer. You must do it. And so I talked to them. They said, no, we're not doing it. But I figured they'd try again. So they tried to basically get another security company to come in. Well, we got into court a few weeks later. The judge said, this is incredible. He fired the U.S. trustee. He fired the CRO over the bankruptcy. It was over in full wars. And so they just brought in another guy. And the judge said, I order a sale. And so they then had, okay, they announced the time of the auction for November of 2014, and then they didn't have the auction. They said it was an auction to the judge and everybody, and then just basically gave it to the Onion gun control group that was paying for it. They went on TV and said it's ours. The judge saw it, said this is insane. And then now the judge got tired of it and kicked the property back into state court with the same judge that ran the show trial, Wear a Gamble. And she appointed a state receiver, and now here we are. 6 months later, and he told my lawyers that, the families, the Democratic Party, they don't want a sale. Well, under the law, if I have this $1 billion-plus debt to them, okay, I'm still fighting in the courts, then by law, they're supposed to sell my assets to pay down part of that debt. But they said, we are not going to allow that. No public sale. It's going to be given to them again. The Onion man, there's a former head censor guy who had run all the censorship over, you know, just like Brian Stelter did for CNN, the guy that oversaw trying to shut down other people using the power of corporate media. He has done Wired magazine interviews and several others I've seen. We play clips of saying, oh, I'm still getting InfoWars. There's one thing in my life. It's I want InfoWars. And he said they're going to use our logo, use my image. They're misrepresent who I am with chupacabras and Bigfoots to confuse people. They also said in June of 2024 in court, pulls up with Bloomberg, Patrick McDavid did it yesterday live on air. You just ask AI, Gemini or ChatGPT. You say, Alex Jones is a special case. The 13th Amendment does not apply to him. In a filing, they said the 13th Amendment against indentured servitude to slavery does not apply to Alex Jones. We own his name. We own his likeness. We own everything he ever said. We own all of his social media. Elon Musk had to counter sue and come in and say, because they could take over X if they got away with that, and said, no, people are on our platform. And as long as they abide by our rules, we own the URL. He owns his name. You can't do that. They had to back off there. So they literally want to own me. Now, Prince signed a 360 agreement with his record company, famously, to own his likeness and name and his music for a huge amount of money. I never did that. My broadcast has always been free to air, First Amendment, with contracts on the site. So TV stations, colleges, Access TV, radio stations can always air it without having to call me and get a contract, because they always want one. And it says, we have a non-exclusive license to everyone. Everyone owns my show. Everyone owns the content. You can use it however you want, as long as I reserve the right to use it in full as well. So we've had dozens of those contracts, different ones, as the years go on, that are on Infowars.com. It's well known. So if they're able to do this and take over, they think it's going to be March 7th, but then they always get behind. Now they think by March 14th, the receiver told us a month ago they're going to shut us down. But again, what they're doing is so fraught with problems, because it's not even clear in the courts yet they're allowed to do this, because if they don't allow me to sell it to pay them money, then that doesn't pay down the debt, which is what by law I'm supposed to do. So the violations of my rights go on and on and on and on and on. And when my lawyers finally went into the whole record, watched all the videos, had all these other lawyers and experts look at it for over a year and a half, really 3 years, but intensely a year and a half, they couldn't believe it. Every quote in their filings, basically in Texas and Connecticut, that they say is a quote from me is not even a quote from me. And literally it's, I believe the kids died. I'm sorry for the parents, but this is what people are saying they have a right to ask him. And they only entered into evidence 22 minutes of me, supposedly over these years, torturing these parents, peeing on their graves. No one ever peed on their graves. None of this stuff ever happened, but much less I didn't do it. So they said it's the tool to shut everybody else down. They said it's not about money. It's about silencing me. And they even in the courts have said he needs to be taken off the air. He says Hillary Clinton and politicians are involved in the trafficking of children. And maybe during the break, they can find that famous short clip where they cut Rogan into it. And they say, so you say Hillary and the Clintons are involved with other politicians, you know, trafficking children. And I go, oh, you mean like Jeffrey Epstein? But there's actually the raw clip of that. And when we post this later to X, we'll definitely cut that in. And we'll play this on my show today as well, that Harrison's doing. Because people need to see that in context. They would use things like that. He says 9/11, there was government prior knowledge. He needs to be taken off the air. He says they're running human trafficking rings. We need him off the air. They're in court. We need him off the air. We need him off the air. He's talking about human trafficking. He's saying CNN lies. He's saying 9/11 was an inside job. Whether I'm right about all that or not, which I've vindicated, they're saying this isn't about Sandy Hook. Okay. And in Texas and in Connecticut, you can't sue somebody for defamation if you haven't said their name. When I got sued by all these people, I didn't know any of their names but one guy. I knew a few of them later because they've been attacking me in the news. And so they ran these foundations. They raised over $300 million on my name, running Facebook and Twitter ads everywhere saying he's harassing us, help us, help us. Bloomberg Group was behind that. All this has been going on. And then Bloomberg reports on it constantly and doesn't tell you that, oh, our owner, you know, of this company is Rupert Murdoch. You know, in the past, whenever a media was talking about some company that they're invested in or they're part of or their parent company, they have to tell you. So this is their model. They've said it on CNN. They've said it on MSNBC. We can take down Alex Jones. We can take down everybody. The plaintiff's lawyers have probably said, no exaggeration, 30, 40 times that I've seen that we want him off the air. That's why we did this. And so that is a conspiracy against rights. If they've got this ready, let's play the short clip. But we should find the raw clip of this. And also Rob Dew and the Green did a great job putting together compilations of them saying, we want Alex off the air. This isn't about money. The longer ones are 10 minutes long of them just saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it. But maybe later in the show, we can just do a 3 minute, a 4 minute, a 5 minute. They got dozens of them in the computer right there just to see them say it over and over again. So this is what's called an open conspiracy against someone's rights. And if proven in court civilly, it then kicks into criminal. And this is what Todd Blanche killed that Ed Martin was investigating, because we have open and shut case of the FBI in Connecticut saying they went and created it with their FBI agent who became a plaintiff himself, won $130 million from me. I never said his name. None of the crew ever said his name. We never showed his picture. A local reporter once asked if he was real, called his office, and for his local blog wrote about him. They said in the suit, I was a co-conspirator with a guy I didn't know, had never met, to put Dilla Pookie in the state for the suit. Then once they got me in trial, they dropped that guy. I first met him during the show trial in Connecticut, where he explained it all to me, and I met the guy, out the hallway. So that's how this whole thing works. You have the FBI sending their chief counsel, their head lawyer, he bragged about on the stand, hiding in plain view, with the Koskov law firm, and then go recruit these families that had their foundations that were, bringing in a few million a year. They escalate to 18, 20 something million, 30 million a year once they attach themselves to my name, while claiming I'm making money off of them, while claiming I'm sending people to attack their houses, pee on their children's graves. Then we ask on the stand, even the show trial, okay, who peed on your graves? Who came to your house? Well, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Well, who told you? I don't know. This is all in the show trials, but they had to have a few questions so it would look real for, the court TV and the YouTube. And remember, in both show trials, they were set a month apart right before the midterms in 2022. I don't know how long this is going on. Just the trials were back then. Even in the show trials, they killed the YouTube comments, because the first few days, everybody's like, 50-50, this guy's a scumbag. But once they saw that I couldn't talk, I couldn't defend, once they saw all this, then they said, oh, my God, 99% of the comments were against them, so they killed the feeds. And she was already killing the feed when she wanted to say something really out of control. She would kill the feed herself, Judge Bellis in Texas. But then she totally killed the feed because they didn't want people to see what's happening. Then it was all produced by HBO. She's putting on makeup. It looked like they had scripts on their desk. She later walked the red carpet when the movie came out 2 years later at South by Southwest as the main feature movie. She walked the red carpet and was praised with flash bulbs and everything, because this was a big production that I was ordered under penalty of contempt of court and arrest if I didn't go to. But then they would read to me, both judges, the same list of things. It's all coordinated. 20 different things I wasn't allowed to say. It was actually 22. I couldn't say I was innocent. I couldn't say that I didn't have any money and was in bankruptcy. I couldn't say never said the names of these people. Couldn't explain I didn't make money off of them. Couldn't provide any details because I was already found guilty. So this was absolutely the Truman Show for real. And now we filed this not to overturn their judgments, none of that. No. To go and show that I've had major civil rights violations and that I get damages on everything they've done to me. And this is just the beginning. As long as people support us at thealexjonesstore.com, and we're going to be launching Major Legal Defense Fund and Offense Fund soon as well. As long as we're supported, we're going to keep fighting, and we have turned the tide against these people. Even the Third Court of Appeals couldn't believe it. In Texas, the Supreme Court, if they don't overturn it, is set to. Judge Bellis did things like 2 weeks after the Texas show trial, to try to bust the caps, $3.5 million. She got in a thing from the jury for 45. She said, I'm going to find you guilty, civilly liable for elder abuse because the man is over 63 now. And she said, I don't care if the Supreme Court and the legislature say this is illegal. She said this. She said, I am overriding it. Well, she can't override it. And now, and people said, why hasn't this gotten to court yet? They kept saying they were going to settle for something more reasonable, even though I don't owe it. It's a fraud. I wanted to just stop this and move on, but they want to bring me down, so they never did. They got up for the Third Court of Appeals and basically admitted that she can't do this, but she did. He's a bad guy. And all three of the women on the court were just like, are you joking?
Alex, stay put. I'm going to get you back on here in just a second. We'll have this quick commercial break. I'll come right back to you to continue this. Folks, don't go anywhere. He's got more allegations to map out for you in just a second.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you. It helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Supps. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
The Alex Jones Show. So I'm too excited. I got too excited. Cutting off the liner there. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Alex is, of course, on mission in Florida today. Although we are hearing from him, we'll go back to his video in just a second. Thinking about it during the break, I feel like we don't do what we've been through justice. The saga we've been through has been this insane battle. And I know, because people are like, oh, weren't you supposed to be shut down? I keep hearing you're shut. Even my dad asked me a couple days ago, he's like, what's the latest? I'm like, supposed to be next month. And he just laughs. He's like, oh, another month, huh? It's like, yeah, I know. Trust me, I know. Trust me, if you are sick of hearing about it, imagine how we feel. But then I feel like it gets lost in the mix. It's just like this endless back and forth. In reality, what's happening is that there are these multi-million dollar lawyers filing lawsuits. I mean, this is modern war. There's the attack, there's the counterattack, there's the siege, the ambush. Like, it's all happening in courtrooms, behind closed doors, but it is the most, like, thrilling drama you've ever seen. And the way that they have abused us is like beyond description. I mean, you can hear it in the story that Alex is telling, and he continues here in just a second. But when you actually understand and like fully comprehend, it just is, you can just keep peeling back layers and layers and layers of the corruption. I mean, every step of this thing has been fraught with, in my opinion, just blatant corruption, malfeasance, and misattribution of laws. It's just, all of it has been ridiculously absurd. The story is at InfoWars.com. Alex Jones files second amended counterclaim in bankruptcy court alleging constitutional violations in Sandy Hook defamation judgment. So this has not been, you know, a series of us just being, you know, battered around endlessly. This has been attack and counterattack. It's been, we've received a blow and then we've given them one back just as hard. And the only reason we've been able to do this is because of your help, because of your support at thealexjonesstore.com, because you spread the news, because you spread the links, because you support us, and make sure to follow us, because it really is coming down to the end here. We really are in the final innings of this game of law that we're engaged in. So make sure to be following us on X, especially at Real Alex Jones, at InfoWars, at AJN Live. I'm at Harrison H. Smith, at Brianna Morello, at War Room Show. There's lots of ways to follow us, but make sure you are, because no matter what happens here, the mission continues in a new form, an even better form, as long as you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We make it so easy for you to do so. Right now, it is 52% off site-wide. Everything on the site is 52% off. This sale ends soon, so don't wait. Of course, your support is what keeps us on the air, and this is the final week to win both of the incredible cars that we are offering, the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 and the Ford F250 diesel. Normally, you're entered to win one or the other of these. This week, it's a crossover week, so every dollar you spend gets 100 times the entries to win both of these cars and $20,000 in cash. So go today, thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air in the fight and actually winning against the unbelievably gigantic network of well-funded lawyers that have been trying to bring us down for the last damn near a decade at this point. But we've survived. We've thrived. We continue to fight because of your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll go to the last part of Alex Jones explaining the countersuit, the counterclaim, and then when we get back on the other side, I'm going to give it some greater context and explain that even the way Alex Jones is laying it out, he's having to cover so much stuff. Every one of these data points you could zoom into and expand, and it is rife with corruption beyond your wildest dreams. It's crazy. Let's go back to Alex Jones on the other side. I'll show you some more context that really tells you how absurd this whole situation has been. Without any further ado, here's Alex Jones.
One of the things you've been talking about on your show is your allegation that government officials are aiding in pedophilia, child trafficking, and the grooming of children, right?
What do you mean, like what Jeffrey Epstein did with the Clintons?
Corrupt courts when you call them out like that. Alex Jones is still with us. I want him to detail his latest filing in court. He is claiming civil rights violations. And as many of you guys know, we've been following this for years now. I mean, what happened to him is unprecedented, and we need to be able to speak out on all of this. And Alex, you know, we were just talking before the break, and prior to all of this, you had mentioned your deposition that you were looking to get Hillary Clinton to give her deposition. And that was shot down. Can you detail that a little bit? Because I know it's also mentioned in this new lawsuit that you've just filed. And I think for those who have missed that, that's the key part to a lot of this.
Yes, I was defaulted for three things. And I mentioned them earlier. I won't go over the other two.
Mm-hmm.
I was defaulted for filing and asking the court for permission to depose Hillary. Because in our deposition of the Sandy Hook Foundation people, they admitted to meeting with Hillary and appeared coordinating with her. And we knew that she'd been involved at the beginning tying me to Sandy Hook and running TV ads against Trump with it. So that was very important for us to show this was political then, as we thought it was. Now we know it was. And so that's the first default. If you get three strikes, you know, that's it. Normally it's fleeing the country or getting caught paying off a judge or, you know, putting in false evidence, you know, knowingly lying. Defaults are called death penalty sanctions. They're extremely rare until now. Now they're using them against everybody. Remember, Trump said he was innocent in the E. Jean Carroll case. He's not allowed to say he's innocent. So what, 7 million the first time, 70-something million or whatever it was the next? Well, you're supposed to be able to say you're innocent. So this is the weaponization that they do. And they're all over the news constantly. People like Piers Morgan, well, Jones didn't show up for court. Jones didn't show up for depositions. Jones didn't give any stuff over. No, I did. And I was innocent. So they had to default me just like Mike Lindell. They've done in his cases, as we showed on screen earlier. Judges find you guilty now that they have show trials. And that is a conspiracy against rights when a judge works with the FBI and works with a law firm that works for the FBI to hand the control of the court over to them and let HBO come in and produce everything and then keep me under those rules so I couldn't defend myself. I mean, again, in the Texas case, a day and a half of testimony about my finances with no evidence and I couldn't respond. Where they go, he's got $360 million, he made it off them, and I'm sitting there at that point with negative money in the bank and never made a dime off of them. So that's a conspiracy against rights. That's what's been done. Serious lawfare, major abuse of process. And abuse of process isn't a sexy name, but it's very powerful. And so this stuff, once proven civilly, you know, has major teeth to it criminally, but we know the Justice Department is toothless at the best, so that won't happen. But civilly, this gets in front of a real judge. They've got real problems on their hands. So we're fighting back. We've been fighting. No one has held out this long against the deep state, other than Trump. And so it's been the listeners and the viewers' prayers, word of mouth, and support of us. So we're live right now. I'm going to play this interview at the start of my show at 11 a.m. today. Harrison's doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm out here in Florida, not vacationing, doing a lot of work behind the scenes, doing some big podcasts like Patrick Bet David. That was really powerful yesterday. I covered this issue in depth for probably about 45 minutes on there, the 2+ hour podcast. People want more details. But a lot of those posts are at Real Hawk Shows on X, but follow us at Real Hawk Shows on X. Follow us at the Backup Network at AJN Live, at AJN Live. Follow, Brianna Morello, follow Harrison, follow all the rest of the great team, because there's a very good chance we're going to be shut down in less than a month. And that just ups the civil rights violations. So you were asking, what damages am I seeking? Or at least during the break, you asked me. Whatever damages I have received, shutting down our companies, the $25 million we spent fighting them for the last 6-7 years, all of what's happened to my parents, if they're able to shut down InfoWars, the incalculable cost of all of that. And there's a lot more they've done that I've been asked not to say that we're, you know, keeping right here on the DL about what they've done and how they've done this. But this has been very sinister, but also very naked in all of it. I know you've got a big guest coming up, so we won't play the compilation here. But when we post this to X in about the next hour, we're going to put a compilation of them saying, we want him off air. Our goal is not money. We want to shut him down, to set the president, to shut them all down. And now they've indeed been doing that. So this is, they're coming for everybody. They're trying to get through me, as Trump says, to get to you, ladies and gentlemen. That's why this is such a big deal and why I appreciate the viewers and listeners standing with us. Without you, we couldn't have done any of this. Without your prayer, I want to thank God. I want to thank the Holy Spirit for leading, guiding, and directing us. I want to thank the crew who have gone through, you know, no raises for years and years and years and years and years and almost no bonuses with all the inflation and many of them being deposed and harassed and lied about. The crew have been warriors and they get as much credit as I get, but the listeners and viewers get the lion's share of the credit. Thank you. Cause I want to fight. I'm a fighter. I never give up. I mean, I like fighting tigers. This is what I was built for, but I can't do it. A warrior can't take the field unless the people are behind him that are in the factories, you know, producing the munitions, you know, producing the energy, producing the tanks, the weapons, the aircraft, the missiles. And that's what this is in the info war. All of this victory is you. The answer to 1984 is 1776. And from the bottom of my heart, I salute all the viewers and listeners of the info war. Even if they shut us down, the info war is generic, belongs to the people of the world. The info war just gets stronger. And we continue on with the Alex Jones Network that's funded by our main sponsor that owns it, thealexjonesstore.com, the great folks at Bigly. The sale ends, by the way, Monday. Mm-hmm. Over 50% off on these two bundles, Methylene Blue, Shilajit, IRC Moss, Atomic Defense. Over 50% off, biggest sale of the year, 52% off. thealexjonesstore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. We're funded by you, not by Qatar, not by Israel, not by the Democrats, not by the Republicans, not by billionaires, but viewers and listeners like you. And I just appreciate the courage and the incredible team we've got. Whether InfoWars survives or whether it gets shut down, we'll know soon. And then under the new ownership, regardless, we plan to go at least 19 hours a day live. Where they're building new studios right now. We have a smaller backup studio that does a great job. And we're going to be on the air. I'm going to be on the air from 5 a.m. to midnight as soon as possible. And we'll have a lot of shows that aren't as exhausting, 3 hours. We'll have a lot of shows that, you know, go to an hour. We'll have a late night show that's like 2 hours. And we'll have some heavy hitters that want to do 2-3 hours. It's kind of the model you've seen with the War Room. That was our original model that we never got fully launched, that we invented, basically. We're going to bring back my original vision that is the current dominant system right now. And we're going to continue to trailblaze because of the backing of viewers and listeners like you. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the Patriots. Please pray for this lawsuit. Please read the lawsuit. It's at Real Alex Jones right now. And Brianna Morello's ex. Follow her because, again, you are the amplifiers. Get this out. This affects everybody. The ball is now in your court, viewers and listeners. God bless you. And, again, I thank you.
Alex, thank you for joining us and folks at home right now. I did post that link. You could view the latest filing right now up on X. It is available for you to click on and to see for yourself. It's about 60 pages long, but it's an easy read. And so give that a look. I mean, he's citing several different constitutional rights that he had violated in all of this. And it's very important for folks at home to understand what Alex has gone through. And I know a lot of people reach out to me and they say quite often, you know, Alex always says that InfoWars is going to be shut down. He's been saying this for a while now, and it's still not shut down. But the reason why it's not shut down yet is because of people like you at home. When you guys go out there, when you guys make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you guys are helping us out significantly, and you've supported us in other ways as well. And that's the reason why this legal battle is still ongoing. Again, so many people are cowards in all of this. They didn't want to speak out on Alex's behalf. But you, the audience, you've been consistent in all of this, continue to help Alex and fight, and we're very grateful for that. I know our control room is, our staff is, our team is, all of us are. So folks, when you go on over thealexjonesstore.com, you're helping us with our next operation, but Alex is in this fight and he is dedicated to this fight. And although these courts might be a bunch of cowards, I think in my own opinion that the Supreme Court is a coward as well for not hearing this argument. I think it's the most important argument to hear. You guys at home keep us up and going. We're very grateful for that.
I ask that with your verdict, you not only take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away. I ask that you make certain he can't rebuild the platform. That's what matters. Take him out of this discourse, of this misinformation, of this peddling of lies, and make sure he can't do it again. That is punishment. That is deterrence.
But somewhere out there right now is another kid getting their kids ready for school, fixing their lunches, going to work, thinking about their kid. And there's going to be a day when that child doesn't come home from school. And we know it, and it's sad, and that's the reality. And the question is going to be, where is Alex Jones when that happens? Is he in the studio? Getting ready to pounce? Or will you stop him? That's going to be in your hands. And if we get all done with all the evidence, we're going to come back and we're going to ask this stuff. Because that's what justice is in this case.
I hope that we never see someone like him again. I hope that with your verdict, he can go away. Alex Jones is patient zero for our society's inability to speak without lies. I believe it. He is patient zero for alternative facts.
Yeah, there's going to be a resolution made onto what these claims are valued at. And that's also going to have to take into account what the Lafferty claims are valued at, and the Posner claims are valued at, and the Fontaine claims are valued at. And that is why I've been saying that what this is heading towards is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate. And over the course of that process, that could get very, very dangerous for Mr. Jones, because there is going to be a new level of financial scrutiny. And if, you know, some lawyer like me can basically find out that he's hiding the keys to the candy store, pull it out in front of him on the stand. I can only imagine what federal receiving's going to do. So, yeah, it's going to get interesting from here on out. It's going to get really interesting, that's for sure.
It's already
super interesting. But like we say, it's the end of the beginning. And boy, are these clients happy about it. There was certainly a message sent out of this courthouse today, that's for sure.
But we will be at it as long as it takes. And if you're out there right now and you're one of Alex Jones's audience members and you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet. And to go back to what Robbie Parker said, all Alex Jones does is take from you, exploit you, lie to you, feed your fears and your anxieties and your mistrust. And the only person that benefits in that equation is him. Well, that stops. That's stopping today, thanks to the courage of these families. Thank you very much.
And here we are 7 years later. You'll notice the name on the marquee here. You'll notice the logo behind us. It seems like maybe the case wasn't as cut and dry as they wanted to present it as. No, we've not just survived, but continued to thrive because we have this little secret. We have a secret weapon. It's called the truth, and it's actually the most powerful thing you could possibly have on your side when you're engaged in a info war, as we are. So they can have all the money. They can have the big, gigantic law firms with the billions of dollars and the infinite man hours to spend. They can have judges or other authorities in their pockets. At the end of the day, they don't have the truth. And so what they're doing is very, very difficult to achieve. And we've explained over and over how they probably could have shut us down years ago if they had just not tried to always get a little bit more. And again, I'm just speaking as an individual with absolutely no legal expertise here. So maybe I shouldn't run my mouth too much, but it's fine because we've already explained this a lot. I've got a couple videos here that I want to go to that are of me, but a while ago, because I've run through this already. A couple things I want to explain. The first is the way that we were defaulted. Our judgment was a default judgment, and what exactly that means and why we were given a default judgment. I put this video together in October of last year explaining, with the help of AI, why we were given a default judgment, just so you can see how absurd this decision was. Let's watch. According to Grok, is why we received a default judgment. We're not allowed to defend ourselves. Jones was ordered in 2019 and 2020 to produce financial records, web analytics like Google Analytics, and marketing data showing how InfoWars profited from Sandy Hook content. They wanted us to provide them evidence that we were guilty. By mid-2021, he turned over only sanitized or partial records, e.g. fragmented sales figures with no context about Sandy Hook-related revenue. Well, we don't have context about Sandy Hook-related revenue. We talk about all sorts of things. Our callers call in and bring something up. People go to the store sometimes. They don't go to the store other times. It just has no bearing on what we cover, how we cover it. For instance, in a June 2021 hearing, they argued he hadn't disclosed contacts or communications with advertisers tied to Sandy Hook broadcasts. What the hell does that mean? We haven't disclosed contacts with advertisers about Sandy Hook. We don't have advertisers. We don't have any contacts with advertisers. We have the Alex Jones store. Back then, we had the InfoWars store. We had maybe a gold person or whatever. But again, they're asking for something that doesn't exist. And then they're giving us a default judgment when we don't provide the records that don't exist. We got the crew that produces the show. I gather all the news. It's all freeform. It's all spur of the moment, edge of the seat. I mean, that's how we do things. There's no law against doing things that way. Then they go in and say, well, where's your internal communications where you talk about how covering Sandy Hook gets you more money? What? That doesn't exist. Oh, you're withholding that, are you? Default judgment. We own your life now. That's literally what happened, all right? Either give us things that prove you're guilty or we will declare you're guilty. Tip of the iceberg, folks. It really is the tip of the iceberg. I'm telling you, every single instance of any proceeding with this case is just filled, replete with the most insane decisions you've ever seen. Totally inexplicable. But actually, it's not. Actually, I take that back. It is explicable. It's very explicable. I can explain it perfectly. Let's go to the next one featuring me. This is the timing. The timing of this was extremely curious, and I discovered this by going back into some of the Google archives. When did they start first talking about Alex Jones in relation to Sandy Hook. It happened to be 1 week after Donald Trump won the election. Let's watch. Go to Google, search Alex Jones, Sandy Hook, go to the news tab, go to custom date from January 1st, 2013, so that would have been 2 weeks after Sandy Hook occurred, to January 1st, 2016, and I searched Alex Jones, Sandy Hook. And what you'll find, there's just nothing. There's not a single headline or a single story about Alex Jones being related to Sandy Hook. Not a single one. But the interesting thing is, change the parameters from January 1st, 2016 to January 1st, 2020, suddenly there's thousands. And it just goes on and on and on. The first story relating Alex Jones to Sandy Hook was literally 1 week after the election in 2016. Sandy Hook truther Alex Jones says he got a nice thank you call from the president-elect. And then it was 1 day after that, daughter of Sandy Hook victim demands Donald Trump disown Alex Jones. I want to impress upon you what's actually behind this whole thing. They decided that a good attack vector on Donald Trump was to associate Alex Jones with Donald Trump and Alex Jones with Sandy Hook. For years and years, that was never a thing. It's all absurd, but that's just my personal view. So there you go. Again, totally unrelated. No stories relating Alex Jones to Sandy Hook until 1 week after Donald Trump gets elected. Suddenly this becomes a major push in the mainstream media. And you don't have to take my word for it. They called experts during the trial that testified as to the efficacy of Alex Jones in the political sphere. You tell me what this has to do with harassment of Sandy Hook victims. Absolutely nothing, because this is what the trial was actually about. Let's go to the disinformation expert that testified in the Connecticut trial.
It is difficult to overstate Alex Jones' role in spreading anti-government conspiracy theories. In 2011, a Rolling Stone article stated that Jones draws a bigger audience online than Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck combined. In 2016, the Washington Post reported that Jones claimed 5 million daily listeners. His YouTube channel, the Alex Jones Channel, has 56 videos with more than 1 million views each. I was about to read the citation. That's the end of the quote.
In the study, when it says that it's difficult to overstate Alex Jones' role in spreading anti-government conspiracy theories, is that consistent with your research and work in this case?
Yes, it is.
Can you explain why?
Yes. When scholars are looking at different producers of media online, I mean, there's a range of factors that we look at, but I would say that two of the most important ones are analyzing the content itself. So what is this person saying? What ideas are they promoting? And another equally important aspect is what is the size of their audience, or even beyond their core audience, what's the size of their reach? And in terms of combining the types of disinformation that Alex Jones promotes and the size and scale of his audience, I can't think of another person working in media who is comparable to him. He's unparalleled in terms
of that. And that's what it was really all about. It was about our political influence and trying to stop that. How'd that go for you? Did that work very well, or do we have greater influence than ever? Because again, we have the truth on our side. It's an impenetrable shield for these people. It's incredible.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. Second hour is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Normally, of course, I host The War Room, which you can watch each and every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. here on InfoWars. And like I was saying at the beginning of the show, InfoWars has grown and expanded continuously since I first started working here. 9 years ago to the day, we have built new studios, built new buildings, and of course survived the most outrageous attacks against us. And you gotta, like, I think everybody who's helped us in this, you should all marinate on that. You should all enjoy this because this is the victory that you should be enjoying vicariously through us, that at every turn, you know these people. You know the scumbags in Washington, D.C., the lawyers, the politicians that want us to just shut the hell up and they can't figure out how to make us. You know that there have been like three or four times where they were popping the champagne bottle and cheersing each other and saying, that's it for InfoWars. They're going down now. We don't have to worry about them anymore. It had to have been, at least they had to have... They probably thought they took us down in 2018. In 2018, when they took us off of Twitter and Facebook and Spotify and YouTube all at once. I mean, YouTube was our main platform. We dominated YouTube. We were bigger and better than any other channel, including channels that are like given so much corporate and institutional support. I mean, if you buy a little device like a Roku or something, you're going to have like the Young Turks loaded in and all these other leftist, you know, channels. Meanwhile, we're being algorithmically crushed and still beating them continuously. And so you have to imagine on that day in 2028, when they somehow conspired to get every big tech company on the planet to simultaneously kick us off of every platform we are on, you must think they were walking around going, we did it. That's it. He's gone. The menace is over. Only like, I don't know, the Undertaker or something, we sit back up and come back at them stronger than ever before because Alex Jones knew exactly how dangerous he was to the establishment. He knew exactly how far they would go to try to shut him up. And so he built, interference resistant systems. He built the Alex Jones Store because at the end of the day, the bad guys, no matter how much they want to tear our system down, no matter how much they want to root out the fundamental building blocks of America and replace them with communism, basically, they still have to rely on capitalism. Like capitalism still exists in America. Our entire system functions on it. If you have a product that you want to sell and somebody else wants to buy it, there's not a lot the government can do to get in the way. So Alex Jones used that and just said, okay, we'll have a store. We'll have a store. We'll sell products. They're good products. It's not even just like t-shirts and merchandise. It's like actually good products that you actually want. And even if you don't like our information, you might buy our products because they're just that good. And there are people out there like that. They're like, I don't like InfoWars, but that iodine is definitely top of the line. And all of our stuff is top of the line. But it was this system that was outside of their control. Because we don't have any corporate masters, because we don't have any advertisers, we have been able to survive these attacks and actually thrive during them. So again, thank you for our support. We're going to get into all of the big news. We've got big hearings happening on Capitol Hill, major videos coming out about that, fallout from the hearings yesterday that we covered on the War Room with Josh Hawley grilling Keith Ellison, and Ellison just refusing to acknowledge that he's a criminal, so I guess he gets away with it. Totally absurd, but we've got some follow-up to that, as well as, of course, moving gigantic amounts of military equipment towards Iran, as it looks like we're not quite done with that debacle. quite yet. And we've got terrorist attacks from the left to cover. So we still have a lot more to cover today, and should be joined by Robert Barnes here momentarily. And as soon as he's on, we'll get into sort of the details of our countersuit, which you can read about at InfoWars by going to InfoWars.com and looking at the article called Alex Jones Files Second Amended Counterclaim in Bankruptcy Court Alleging Constitutional Violations in Sandy Hook Default Judgment. Alex Jones has filed a second amended counterclaim against the Sandy Hook families, arguing defendants colluded with the state of Connecticut to deprive him of constitutional rights in connection to more than $1.5 billion in default judgments entered against him. And folks, just like they tested internet censorship on us, this has been a test of the legal system. Can they get away with it? So this isn't even about InfoWars. This is about the ability of the bad guys to use these systems to silence their opponents, silence their critics, silence the truth tellers that are exposing them. We're not going to let them win, and this lawsuit is our counterattack. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Follow us on X at Real Alex Jones, at InfoWars, at AJN Live, because you're going to want to hear from us where our new home is whenever this place gets forcibly shut down by the feds. It's almost appropriate. It would almost be like a failure of Alex if he didn't piss off people enough that they're willing to break the entire system of law to bring him down. I mean, there's just something so like legendary about this, that Alex is just some dude in Texas going on literally a cable access channel. Cable access. It doesn't really exist to the level that it used to, obviously, because of YouTube and stuff. But, you know, used to just anybody could go in and have a show. And Alex just happened to be the best in the world at doing this. And just by sheer force of will and popularity and you know, people actually connecting with his message, to go from talking about the New World Order, talking about the elite cabals that run the world, to being in active battle with them and standing toe-to-toe with them and actually winning against them in the courts, it's just an incredible story to be a part of. So thank you for your support. And we will get to the news now, and we'll continue to talk about what's happening, because everything, all of this should be major news. It's frankly bizarre that it's not. Just because I guess it's Alex Jones, it's InfoWars, we've been smeared enough in the mainstream that people are afraid to actually tell the truth about us. But you would think that this would be of massive concern to anybody who cares about freedom of speech or just the proper functioning of our law courts. But we can never get support. But this should be a top story across the country, this countersuit that we're claiming. The 60-page long filing is available now on Alex's account at Real Alex Jones, as well as Brianna Morello. At Brianna Morello. And we go through just some of the incredible malfeasance that we've been subjected to that, again, we could just go on and on and on about. It should be a top story, you know, worldwide, but we'll wait for that. I'm sure that'll happen here momentarily. I'm sure the mainstream media, it's like, it's weird. Only Bloomberg covers this, and only because they have like a personal stake in it, and they lie about it most of the time anyway. But anyway, we'll move on. But the story is at InfoWars. Alex Jones files second amended counterclaim in bankruptcy court. And this is a monumental and really could be like game-changing civil rights lawsuit. And that's exactly what this is. It's civil rights. Our civil rights are being attacked, and we have to defend them, and we are. And we're succeeding. We're successful in this so far, and we will continue to be. So this actually just broke, or rather was just posted from General Mike Flynn. I haven't actually responded to it yet, but it's been going pretty viral, and it has to do with the Epstein files that we can get into. Again, it's been 1 week since the files were released. It feels like it's been 10 years. I feel like it's been 10 years since we started to look at the Jeffrey Epstein documents, because it feels like 10 years worth of information has come out in the last week. And I hope everybody's doing okay. I hope you're all doing all right. The same thing keeps happening. So I don't know if the effects are compounding, or if maybe people are being inured to this concept, but I remember back in 2024 when the Gaza conflict really started going, and people were posting just a ton of stuff about Israel, and it was like, okay, this is like 20 years worth of 4chan browsing in like a week. I don't know if human brains are ready for this. There was a time where the forbidden information you had to seek out, right? You had to be the type of person that went and discovered things you weren't supposed to discover, and looked at things that you maybe didn't want people to know you were looking at. You had to go find this stuff, and there, you know, hidden in all the mess was like nuggets of truth that you could identify and pull out, and you had to have discernment to find out what those are. Now it's all just being shoved in people's feeds, and like, I don't know if people are ready for it. But just know, we've been on this page for 20 years. We're all right. We're fine. It hasn't depressed us. It hasn't blackpilled us. I see a lot of people going, oh my gosh, you know, the Epstein files, it just shows that it's so crazy how big this problem is. There's nothing we can do. And it's like, guys, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? This Epstein file release represents an apex of our movement, a massive victory in the information war. I didn't even think we were going to get this. I was so resigned to the ability of the bad guys to manipulate things, I never thought we'd get a release like we've gotten. The release itself is a trophy, is like proof of our victory. And so then to see people go, but it just makes me sad. It's like, what do you mean it makes you sad? Yeah, it's terrible. What they're doing is heartbreaking and terrible and disgusting and gruesome. And like, you wouldn't be human if you could just read some of this stuff and not have an emotional reaction to it. It's okay. Just don't let that convince you that you're helpless, because that is the worst possible outcome of all this. There's two possible outcomes. One is that you just go, this whole system's corrupt, let's just embrace communism or something unadvisable like that. Just basically going, this is capitalism. This must be capitalism's fault. I guess we should all be communists. And I just keep explaining this. That's like, guys, the system is bad. I feel like I'm a Russian in 1917 going, look, guys, the Tsar is not great, but gulags. Have you ever heard of gulags? Like, yeah, our system's not perfect. It's messed up. There's a lot of terrible people in positions of power that need to be not just removed, but probably arrested, and some of them hung, or, you know, given the death penalty after, you know, a trial and the due process and all of that good stuff. So, yeah, I'm not saying it's not as bad as everybody thinks it is. I'm just saying it could get worse. I'm saying it could get a hell of a lot worse. I'm saying the people under the Tsar thought it was bad until the Gulag Archipelago came into existence. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to just throw the baby out with the bathwater and think that the whole system is inalterably corrupt and we have to throw it out and replace it with something brand new and never tried before, even though it's just communism. It's been tried a bunch. It keeps killing everybody. That's one outcome of this we want to avoid. The other outcome, which is possibly even worse, is that all of this comes out, all of this dirt is made public, and then nothing happens from it. And no one gets punished, no one gets thrown into prison. That's unacceptable. Like, we won't accept it. Not like we don't want it to happen, but like, we won't accept it. And so, obviously, I mean, personally, my argument is, I'm desperate to have the lawful and legal authorities deal with this, but that's not the only option. And like, I don't know what we have to do to compel the legal and lawful authorities to do their damn jobs for once and just arrest the terrible criminals talking about eating babies. Like, if you could do that, then us regular normal human beings wouldn't have to deal with this. Us civilians can go about our daily lives, you know, in comfort, knowing that our authorities are doing their job and fulfilling their obligation as part of this societal pact we have going. But as long as they keep being in cahoots with the criminals, we might have to take a different tack here, not of waiting and trusting, but rather of acting and achieving. And again, it is just beyond weird that Europe is actually collapsing under the Epstein files. If you were a space alien, looked at the outcome of the Epstein files, you would think this was like a UK scandal. You would think this was something that happened in the UK and was specific to the UK, because their top civil person, it's a weird role. If you've ever seen Yes Minister, he's the other main character that's like the head civic government guy. They have a weird system in Britain, but he just resigned over Epstein. Multiple people in very high positions of power in the British government have resigned. The prince kicked out of his damn house over it. Meanwhile, the vast majority of the people implicated are here in America, and we're not doing crap about it. It's a little weird. It's a little bizarre. Let's find out what General Mike Flynn has to say about all this. He says the Epstein affair, like it or not, this is how I see it. The Epstein affair, long the subject of being a sophisticated intelligence operation designed to compromise global elites through blackmail, i.e. grotesque, demonic, pure evil, quote-unquote honey traps, in order to control what they do and how they behave, now appears to be another quote-unquote conspiracy theory turned true. So please stop telling me and everyone else in the nation to move along, nothing to see here. And our own intelligence community via a certain intelligence agency is clearly implicated along with their counterparts in other nations. For all what this is about. The affair is about clear sexual abuse of children, murder, rape, mutilation, and other weird psycho crap behavior by people who clearly believe they are untouchable. The overwhelming evidence, and more to come out, also paints a horrific picture that Epstein did not act alone. He was a critical node in a dark web of predatory intelligence activity aimed at compromising the global elites, and many were easy prey because of their sick existing proclivities for child and other human and non-human sacrifice. It is impossible without even more transparency to determine the full scale and scope of the compromise. Is every world leader compromised? Doubtful, but controlling the world takes a lot of effort, and that is the ultimate goal of Satan, or whichever of this elite club wears that hat currently. Someone has to. All of this madness and moral depravity highlights how influence and espionage often blur in elite circles, but when they want to get you, they will, unless you understand what they're doing and are able to stand against it. I have said in warfare, a commander should never state a red line. It gives away an option to an enemy that an enemy will exploit, and that is true in the annals of warfare. However, in life, a red line, and my personal red line for humanity, must be to protect children at all costs from those who would commit grotesque criminal acts against them. It's time for good men and women, at least in the United States of America, to stand against this abuse of children. We must. What is it the Bible says about placing a millstone around somebody's neck? Yeah, anybody who hurts children deserves to have a millstone tied around their neck and to be thrown into the ocean, is what it says. And I'm a Christian, and I believe that is a command from God that we are failing to uphold at this very moment. It's very pathetic. So good for Mike Flynn to not go with the Trump administration's demand that we all just shut up about this. We don't need to go over the just absurd notion that reflects, the political absurdity of throwing away this golden goose opportunity to be a hero of the Republic and round up a gigantic cabal of billionaires that's literally hated by everybody. I don't know why we can't do things that would be universally popular ever. I don't know why this is so impossible. I think it's all tied up together. I think maybe if we were to solve the problem of Jeffrey Epstein's creepy criminal friends, we could probably get some other stuff done in the meantime. And yeah, there are a few positive, you could say, outcomes from this, like the one we just saw, the Goldman Sachs leader stepping down over Jeffrey Epstein, but not nearly enough, and certainly not from the places where it matters, like the places in the DOJ or the Trump administration where Jeffrey Epstein's bosom buddies are currently still very powerful. But here are just some of the latest, I don't know, questionable stuff. Some of this stuff, it's kind of up to the reader. It's kind of like, okay, it could be bad. It could be not so bad. I mean, the jerky thing, it's like maybe occasionally in there, maybe they really are talking about jerky. I don't know. Seems to me like they're talking about human flesh, adrenochrome, something that jerky is a code word for. But I guess that's the point of code words. You can read it and go, he could just be a fan of beef jerky. I don't know. Some people are. I got an uncle that makes beef jerky, and it's like a whole thing. I mean, you know, some people are craft beer people. So all I'm saying is that there are code words or phrases in the emails that a lot of people are pushing forward saying this is what they're talking about, but it's sort of debatable. The reason I'm saying this is because this email is not one of those. This email, I cannot come up with a innocent explanation for. I can't imagine what they could be trying to talk about other than what it sounds like. Here's the email. And it's from somebody named John Brockman. And he says, better than well, things are going well, but no, Jeffrey, when am I going to see you? Give me a call tomorrow if you're bored at home. Happy Hanukkah. P.S. You missed the big event on Sunday, a party with a dozen beautiful East Side girls. Well, a dozen one-year-olds, ! What does that mean? What does that mean, though? But what could that possibly mean, exactly? What do you mean you were having a party with a dozen one-year-olds? And what I just have to keep saying what? But what could this mean? I mean, I don't know. I'm genuinely asking if the crew can help. I mean, am I missing something here? I'll read it again. P.S. You missed the big event on Saturday, a party with a dozen beautiful East Side girls, parentheses, well, a dozen one-year-olds, ! What are you talking about? What does that mean? It seems to me, I mean, call me crazy. From a layman's perspective, from purely just going off my gut, sounds like this guy is having a party where he's either eating or raping a dozen one-year-olds. I don't know if that's what it is, but I'm hard-pressed to find any alternative explanation for what the hell that means. Okay, so I could be wrong, you know, allegedly, this is speculation, all of those good caveats, but what? But I think the only outcome to say is, what the hell, you guys? What do you mean there was a party with a dozen one-year-olds? And why did you call them beautiful East Side girls? I don't know. I just don't know. But we'll let that digest. We'll move on a little bit. And there were a lot of emails like this. The more you read into Jeffrey Epstein's emails, the more the picture becomes clear of who this guy was and how he operated. And what you get is this idea that he was like the Willy Wonka of the elite, and especially the scientific elite. He was the man with the golden ticket. In other words, he had been given billions and billions of dollars from his collaborators to prop him up and set him up as a philanthropist, as a funder of projects. And so as you read his emails, I was talking about this on Moonbase yesterday. We were using the web.io program that Ian Carroll's put together and investigating some of it and reading some of the emails. And everybody who talks to Epstein, you can tell they really want his money. He's got billions of dollars that he's dangling in front of them. And so all of their emails, you get this sense. I was reading one yesterday that, you know, he was going, hey, I wanted to tell you about these projects, and sorry if it's too long, but, you know, I thought you'd want some context, but you can skip that part if you want and just look at the, and it's like, you just get this sort of frantic energy because everybody knew that this guy could change your life. Everybody knew that one word or one check from this guy and your funding is approved for the next 10 years, or you're on your path to, you know, some presidential position in some company that you want. Because he was this node of intelligence and money and finance and science, he was walking around like he was, you know, King Midas. When in reality, it was all fraudulent, right? It's all fake. He's not anybody. He's just some dude that happened to have this particular skill, manipulation. That's the skill that he had. He didn't have amazing talent in science and finance or whatever. Maybe he was a little above average on some of these things, according to people who talked to him. But there's also a psychological reality that goes along with these types of people, the celebrity status. And you have to be kind of a demented person to enjoy it, I think. Because, and I've seen this, I remember I was working on Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers' show. And Seth Meyers shows up to the set, and everything he said, everyone around him would laugh at. It wasn't funny. Even when he was trying to be funny, it wasn't particularly funny, but everybody cracked up. There's a scene from The Sopranos, right, where Tony Soprano says a joke, and then it does this slow pan, and everybody's laughing so hard and slapping their knee, and did you hear that? And like, and it's all fake, but it's all fake. But I think the people laughing, they don't know it's fake. There's really this like giddy energy where when you're with a celebrity, it's like, oh, he's the funny guy. And so then he says something and everybody's like, ah, you're so funny, Seth. You're so funny. And so there's like that energy around Jeffrey Epstein all the time where it's like, oh, you're such a, you know, you have such good ideas. You're so smart. You're so good. And to actually like convince yourself that you're worthy of that takes a sick mind. And I always think about in the Soviet Union, there was this idea or there's this, I don't even know if it's true, but I think it was this phenomenon where when Stalin would be introduced, people would cheer for like 30 minutes straight because nobody wanted to be the first person to stop cheering because then they might be sent to a gulag or killed. And so they weren't cheering out of genuine love for Stalin. He didn't deserve 30 minutes of adoration, but everybody was so scared of being killed that they were pretending to love him. And you have to wonder, as he stood up on the stage, soaking in the applause for 30 minutes straight, was he thinking, I deserve this, this is because they love me? Or was he thinking, yeah, you dirt, if you stop clapping, I'll kill you? Was he reveling in the power that brought him? Was he convincing himself he deserved the applause? And I just wonder, what was Jeffrey Epstein's, or what is Jeffrey Epstein's mindset of all of this? Does he think he deserved the adoration and respect from all these people when he knew it was all predicated on a lie? One of the emails we were reading yesterday, the guy is talking to Jeffrey Epstein, and he's going, you know, there's some really great takeaways from our conversation the other day. And, you know, here's what I've come away with. And he's like, one, the rich and powerful are not like you and me. Like, no, you're talking to one of the richest and most powerful people in the world. You're talking to somebody who has every world leader in their Rolodex on call. But somehow he's convinced this science guy, hey, you and me, we're not like those elite guys. We're not like those guys with the big bucks. It's like you're talking to a man who owns a pedophile island. You're talking to a man who has secret submarines and who routinely keeps women in cages, allegedly. But somehow he's convinced him that he's on his side against the big bad elite. So the point of all of this is that Jeffrey Epstein as a person doesn't really exist. He's an amalgamation of lies that he was happy to perpetuate on everybody. And part of this, part of the attraction to him was the fact that everybody knew that he could hook you up with some top class hookers. He had the finest bevy of whores, you know, in the country. And you see these emails where it's people like, hey, Jeff, I'm going to be in New York. Any orgies, you know, going on? Right. So you had to be friends with him. You had to be in with him if you wanted access to the sluts, to be honest with you. I'm sorry to tell you. And not the victims. I'm not talking about the victims here. And I'm talking from the point of view of the billionaire scumbags. This is how they saw it. They saw, oh, Jeffrey Epstein, you got to be on his side so you can get access to the meat. That's the level of respect they had for these victims. So this is one of them, right? I haven't had fun in a while, but I am now. It's incredible. I'm seriously addicted. I'm trying to find some high-end Eyes Wide Shut parties. Do you know any? You know any Eyes Wide Shut parties, Jeff? This was who he was. This was why they valued him, is because he was the one that gatekept access to the illegal activity of the elite. And that includes the human trafficking, the sex parties, but it also includes the secrets you needed to know in order to hide your incredible wealth and offshore accounts, how to use tax law to avoid, your income being discovered. He had access to these types of secrets. And for a whole time I've worked at InfoWars, people ask me like, what is the Illuminati? And wanted like and we could go into the history to, you know, Adam Weishaupt. We could go through all that and George Washington. I mean, the Illuminati has been around for a while, but how it manifests today in reality is that there's a certain level of people that operate above and outside the law that all of us operate by. And you have to know them in order to get access to the secrets and the methods and the connections that they use to avoid taxes and law and punishment for their crimes. And we'll get more into this on the other side. One just Epstein. It's a whole cabal of these people in every industry. Stay with us, folks. It's the Alex Jones Show. Go to thealexjonesshow.com to support us. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I've stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Sweet dreams are made of these.
Harrison Smith here sitting in for Alex Jones. Today it is the 13th of February, 2026. And we have just filed probably one of the most landmark civil rights cases in recent history as we are going Well, we're turning around. We are now charging back at the people who we'd been defending ourselves from. We are now on the offense and taking the fight to them. And you can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And supporting us and supporting yourself as well. Right now, it's a 52% off site-wide mega sale. So absolutely everything is 52% off. You're saving even more. If you're a VIP member, of course, you get the $10 discount or gift card every single month that you're a VIP member, as well as access to the Lost Alex Jones tapes, which I don't think we push enough. Folks, every Alex Jones show from 2001 to 2008 is gone from the internet, except at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you sign up for to be a VIP member, it costs you $30 a month. You get $40 in store credit to spend, so you're getting an extra $10. Plus, you get additional discounts. Plus, you get additional entries into the giveaways, I'm pretty sure. I mean, there's like so much good stuff with the VIP. But you get access, exclusive access, to the hidden tapes, the lost tapes of the Alex Jones Show, 2001 to 2008. It's the only place on the internet you can find it, and you have to be a VIP club member to download those. And it's just in addition to all the savings and, of course, keeping us on air and in the fight and in a way that, you know we can depend on your support so we can make plans into the future, knowing that we've got such a sizable audience backing us up monthly with your support. So if you buy anything from thealexjonesstore.com, it's really a good idea to be a VIP member. But regardless, you're getting a fantastic product at 52% off. I mean, my God, I know. I had friends in high school, their parents would like clip coupons and they'd be saving these piles of coupons for like Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever. And it'd be like, you get 10% off if you order over $100. It's like most sales are nothing. We are giving you 52% off every product. It's like, what are we even doing? I don't even understand, but it works because the people love the products. And hey, if you can just try it, you know, maybe you don't want to go all in on a product, but now that it's 52% off, hey, give it a try. And guess what? You're going to love it. We don't sell bad products. Why would we? Such a bad idea. No, we sell you the best products available. And by the way, you know, some of these products, you can get similar things elsewhere, right? You can get creatine at other places. You can get tallow other places, but you got to go in. You got to find out which suppliers are legit. You got to find out, you know, where they're even coming from. Half the time, you don't know where the hell it's being sourced or what the actual, you know, ingredients are. So we did all that work for you. We did it. We found the best possible examples of these products, and now we give them to you at the lowest possible cost we can bring them to you. So, you know, don't worry about trying to go around and find which brand has the best of these products. We have the best of all of it. That's the Bovine Blue Tallow Skincare line, which I was talking about when we first had Blue Tallow. It's just very coincidental that my wife had just bought tallow face cream of some sort. And I was looking at it and reading it and going, huh, tallow, I bet we could sell this on InfoWars. And I had no idea. That day we started selling tallow, and now we have the tallow skincare line with the methylene blue. So it's infused with that product. So long story short, you've kept us on the air. You've kept us in the fight. We swear on an altar of God, eternal vigilance and hostility against all forms of tyranny over the minds of man. And all that we ask is you support us in this mission spiritually and physically by supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, this next video, I was planning on going to it anyway, because I was just talking about just the sheer evil of the Epstein style people running around our country. And then I'm thinking about it during the break, and this is such a crazy video, and this is such a crazy claim. I think it's real. I think it's true. I don't have any reason to doubt this claim, but it's so wild. Like, I'm even telling the crew about it, and they're like, really? And I'm like, maybe I should double check this, because it's such a crazy claim. I don't want to believe it, but I don't have any reason not to believe it. It's a man who claims that he, for like a decade, was the quote-unquote blood boy of P. Diddy. He was his blood boy. So that exists, apparently. Let's go to clip 11. Again, I feel like I need to caveat this and go, I don't actually know if this is true, because it's just so out there. But I think it is. But I think it's real. But I'm pretty sure this guy's telling the truth, and nothing I can find contradicts it. And you'll see, they even present evidence in this interview that you can look for yourself and see, okay, looks like P. Diddy didn't really age for the time period that he was apparently a literal vampire. Okay. After the last segment, the crew was like, yeah, these people are literal vampires. And I'm like, you have no idea. I'm like, you ever heard of a blood boy? So again, this is one of the craziest things I've ever heard. I think it's true. Clip 11. I was Puff Daddy's blood boy. I want a pint of your blood right now. Let's watch.
Well, you were Puffy's blood boy?
From 2004 to 2014.
Don't think I'm stupid, but what's a blood boy?
So when somebody parties too hard or isn't living right, they want a fresh blood in their system, right? I didn't drink, smoke weed, I didn't eat pork, none of that. Diddy saw me and he was like, yo, I got a job for you. He was like, I want that blood. And I was like, whoa. And he drops 10 grand on the table.
10 large.
Yeah. He said, I want to find your blood right now.
So that was a one-off or you start?
That was the beginning. I'm a universal donor. He thought I was special. He called me his lucky little blood boy. Every like 3 months, he would fly me down to Miami. And this was the crazy part. He never actually wanted to do it on land. It wasn't legal at that time.
Yeah.
So we would get on a boat and he would take us to what he would call Oconus, outside of the continental
US,
United States.
Yeah.
And on his yacht, he would just drain blood. And he would just drain me. Just drain me, dude. Look at him from 2004 to 2014 and tell me if he aged.
Yeah, facts. And he's aging now that he's in prison. He's not all of a sudden father time.
Caught up with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
For 9 years, the majority of Puffy was made up with my blood.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's kind of convincing, actually. I think he's telling the truth. The blood boy going Oconus off the continental United States. That means international waters. That means lawlessness. So that's who is, you know, dictating cultural norms for us for the last couple decades. Great. And of course, this ties into the abuse systems that were first inaugurated with like Motown in the 40s and 50s and that the record producers there who were abusing and taking advantage of and exploiting all of the artists sort of indoctrinated Puff Daddy into this, and he was carrying on their tradition, as it were. He inherited the company, I guess you could say. Tech tycoon who spends $2 million per year to retain youth uses son as blood boy. Oh, right. I forgot. We live in hell. I forgot. I don't have to question this. It's acknowledged. I forgot they admit that they do this. It's just there's something still so creepy about hearing somebody say it that like you don't want to believe it. But no, I forgot. We live in hell and are literally ruled by vampires that are now basically coming out of the shadows. Of course it's real. Of course it's true. Of course they're acting like this is normal. My bad. My bad for ever doubting that P. Diddy had a blood boy on staff that he would take to international waters to drain. Sorry, I thought that was just too crazy to take on face value, but I forgot we live in hell world where the elite are openly drinking the blood of young people to try to live forever. Sorry, I forgot about that. Just insane. Can we have Kanye back? So the Epstein files have had some appropriate consequences in places like Europe. In America, we're still waiting for even the bare acknowledgement of what's been discovered, let alone the criminal trials demanded by the facts that we've uncovered. But at least in Europe, some things are happening. Norway's former prime minister, Jagland, has been charged with gross corruption over Epstein files. Former Norwegian prime minister Thorbjørn Jagland has been charged with gross corruption over his ties with U.S. sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, police have said. The charge was brought after the Council of Europe lifted Jagland's immunity, which he enjoyed because of his past diplomatic role. He denies criminal liability and is willing to cooperate, his lawyer says. Emails released by the U.S. government are thought to show that Jagland planned solo and family visits to Epstein's homes in Paris, New York, and Palm Beach after the billionaire was convicted of a child sex offense. Three of Jagland's properties were searched by Norwegian crime unit Økokrim, and he is now expected to be questioned. As well as serving as prime minister from 96 to 97, Jagland is also a former head of the Norwegian Nobel Committee and spent a decade as secretary general of the Council of Europe. Nobel Committee, as in the Nobel Peace Prize or the Nobel Science Prize. Nobel Prize in Chemistry. You think they're all perverts? You think they're all pedophiles? Or do you think they're just friends with and, you know, enablers of? I guess it's all the same. So at least in Norway, there's some consequences being had there. Ex-BBC anchor, meanwhile, avoids jail over repugnant images of children. BBC and the UK still having problems bringing their elite to justice for crimes against children, as Mike Cernovich points out. BBC anchor Hugh Edwards, now also given a free pass by the court, no jail time for child abuse images. The BBC kept him on salary. Relating this back to Jimmy Savile, who's known to have abused around 450 children over a 50-year period. Keir Starmer, the director of public prosecutions, declined to prosecute Savile, and of course is now prime minister. He also helped cover up the migrant rape gang because, as far as I can tell, the number one goal of the European elite is to have their populations raped to death. I think that is sort of their overwhelming concern at this moment. So an ex-BBC anchor avoids jail over repugnant images of children. Hugh Edwards, once one of the most trusted and recognizable faces on British TV, on Monday avoided jail at his sentencing over indecent pictures of children, capping a stunning fall from grace. The 63-year-old presenter was instead handed a 6-month sentence, suspended for 2 years, meaning he will not serve any time in prison if he does not reoffend. Edwards guided Britons through some of their country's most seismic events over the past 2 decades, including the death of Queen Elizabeth II in September 2022. His calm delivery, mixed with the public broadcaster's reputation for journalistic impartiality, made him a reassuring presence for millions. However, his proclivity to sexually abuse children made him an utter terror for people that knew who he really was. I'll add as a little editorial addendum. Meanwhile, Britain's most senior government official stands down. Britain's most senior government official, Chris Wormald, agreed with Prime Minister Keir Starmer to stand down, the third member of his team to go in recent days after the appointment of Peter Mandelson as U.S. ambassador threw the government into chaos. Starmer has vowed to never walk away after facing his biggest challenge to his authority yet, including a call from Labour's leader in Scotland to step down over the appointment of Mandelson, who was close to the late U.S. sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Why can't we have that here? Like, what? I don't know. I just don't get it. I mean, the UK is so suicidally retarded these days. They can't seem to do anything right, yet they're able to approach the Jeffrey Epstein scandal with some level of appropriate outrage. Meanwhile, here in America, people deeply tied into Jeffrey Epstein, financially, familially, in long-term friendships with the guy after he was convicted of child sex crimes, communication and interaction that they lied about deliberately and extensively in being approved for their current positions are still there and are being defended by people in charge. Yeah, Howard Lutnick being one of them. What explains this? I don't know. I don't know. How are we more controlled than the UK when it comes to this? How are we not responding with more outrage? And it doesn't even make sense because I would say that it's a partisan thing because people are willing to excuse the most outrageous behavior if they think it'll benefit their side. But the MAGA people want this stuff released. The people at the top don't, but that's the inexplicable part. And the Democrats want this stuff. So it's not even like, oh, it's not happening in America because there's this partisan divide and the Democrats refuse to do anything. But I guess it's a Republican in this case, but the Republican people all want this. So I don't know. So I guess we're just even more controlled than the UK somehow in this regard. Top UK civil servant quits as government aims to calm Epstein storm. That's Chris Wormald again. His departure comes after two aides quit earlier this week over the row triggered by the appointment of Peter Mandelson. The fallout from Mandelson's appointment has sparked by emails showing that he remained friends with Epstein long after the latter's conviction in 2008, its most serious crisis of Starmer's 19-month tenure. I don't know. I'm just baffled at this. I can think of a couple other things that might qualify as a bigger scandal. Allowing in millions of terrorists and then punishing the native UK population for being against that, I think is kind of a bigger violation of trust in his position as prime minister. I would think that like expediting secret crazy courts where they were throwing people in prison for years on end because of their tweets while simultaneously letting murderers out of prison because of claims of overcrowding. I mean, you would think that scandal would have taken the cake. getting rid of jury trials, upending 1,000 years of, you know, British jurisprudence. You'd think that would be a big scandal. All of that just sort of happened. All of that was like business as usual. And now this is the big scandal. I don't get it. I mean, this is a big scandal. I'm not downplaying it, but it's like, why this out of everything? I'm just confused at it, I guess. Now, this is another aspect of the Epstein files that is pretty disturbing, but there are some questions about how legitimate this sort of pushback is. So from the Epstein files on X, schools across the U.S. cancel picture day due to Leon Black's Epstein file involvement. Pretty sad when local schools are more aware and doing more than our own government. Honestly, so pathetic, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Black, through Leon Black, through Apollo Global Management, owns LifeTouch, the company that dominates school photography in America. Of all the businesses someone with Epstein ties could own, a company with direct access to children's photos is probably the most alarming. So essentially, Leon Black has been connected to Epstein for a while, and some of the latest files about Leon Black are truly disturbing. Like, I don't even want to read them here. I'll sort of hint at what they say, but it's not for broadcast as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's actually how bad they are. And so he owns this company that more or less has monopoly on school photos. So people are saying, were they making a catalog of children? Like, what was this, a facial recognition thing? Which, all of that is a valid concern, I think. Who knows what could be done with all this information? I would just say that if you're concerned at that, if you're concerned about these people in these groups, in these cabals, in these networks, having access to something like your children's visage and their name and where they go to school in a giant database somewhere, you might want to think about the fact that Google is providing all of the laptops for all of your public schools. You might want to think about the fact that there are gigantic contracts with Amazon and Google and all these others to both provide electronics to your children so that they can surveil them continuously and grade them on a social emotional learning scale, so they can personalize the manipulation of that child. If you're worried about your child's data being collected by corporations with nefarious intentions, I suggest you start looking into who's providing laptops to the school, what programs they're running, and how open they are about their intention of using their access to your children, the ability to gather data on your children, to manipulate your children to their own ends. Okay, so it ain't just about picture day, folks. Do you know who owns the company writing the books for school? Maxwell Hill, I mean, McGraw-Hill, owned by Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's dad. It's a lot more than the school pictures, I guess, is what I'm saying. But this is a good thing to do, too. I mean, this is what it's going to take. Clearly, the authorities are not doing their job. They're not sufficiently capable or willing to go after the criminal networks now openly exposed in the Jeffrey Epstein files. So going after the companies, going after the individuals, going and protesting outside of their universities or wherever they're employed has to be one of the tactics that we take now, because sitting silently while these people walk around free is not acceptable. Epstein files. Leon Black accused of violently biting sensitive areas of a 7-year-old. Released Epstein file trafficking notes reveal multiple women accusing billionaire Leon Black of brutal sexual assault inside Epstein's home, including a minor who was just 7 to 8 years old. Another victim was 16. She describes bleeding after an assault and was denied medical care, then flown out of New York the next day. Black founded Apollo Global Management, the largest publicly traded private equity fund on earth. Absolutely disgusting allegations. They truly are. Again, I'm not even going to read them out. You can see them on screen here. Leon Black, Wall Street person, 71 or 72, largest private equity global fund in the world, which I guess they're competing with BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard, and they all own each other, so it's all just one big happy family. And you can read some of the details of just the horrific accusations of abuse against him. Again, this is alleged. This hasn't been proven in court, but that's because I think he's above the law. I don't think he will ever be brought to court for this stuff, even though he definitely should be. But do you know that Leon Black's son has a position in Donald Trump's White House? Isn't that interesting? You understand it's a family affair. You understand that all these people's kids are in positions of power all over the place, right? It's a family affair. Larry Ellison's son is running the digital ID program in the UK. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And their kids all get these very high-powered positions so that they can inherit the sort of shadow nobility position that their parents held. And the way to understand it is a meritocratic aristocracy, so that there's all these different families, and there's not that many of them. And sometimes they hand their operations directly off to their children, like George Soros hands his operation to his son, and everybody who used to be a slave of George Soros now goes and bows at the feet and pays fealty to his son. Because these people don't believe in meritocracy, they believe in keeping power within their bloodlines. But it's not always that direct. A lot of times it's an opening, and it will be filled by somebody from one of these families, but you have to kind of prove yourself capable first. So it's not an automatic thing. You have to earn it. But the school of candidates is very select and within these certain families. So that's the way it works. And it's why all these people have kids with positions in the White House, or, Ron Lauder, president of the World Jewish Congress. His son is now going to be ahead of the Fed. You know, what are the odds? What are the odds that heir to the Estee Lauder fortune and president of the World Jewish Congress just happens to have a son who's the best fit to run the Federal Reserve? You know, what are the odds, right? It's not about odds. It's about bloodlines. We also have Norway. I mean, Norway just, I don't know what Norway's problem is, but they're all over these Epstein files in the most heinous stuff. Yeah, Trump picks Apollo co-founder's son for DFC after firm shows interest in ex-debt. Yeah, so good for him, right? This is from the Princess of Norway. And she says, "You always make me smile because you tickle my brain." This is what she's saying to Jeffrey Epstein. "But I want the data for now, or the bill is mine. Is it the cocktail of all the unnaturals that have a profound effect on early stages of development in humans? Soon people won't be able to make new humans anymore. But I guess that would be La La Land great. We can just design them in a lab." I guess we can just destroy our natural ability to reproduce, but it's fine because we can create some sort of homunculi in a jar somewhere, and that's good enough? You crazy bitch. Like, what are you talking about? Why? What is wrong with these people? How are these people the most powerful people in the world, and what the hell is wrong with them? What are they talking about? So it's like, it's almost like they're half human. Right? They're like, oh my God, there's poison everywhere. It's affecting our ability to reproduce. It's affecting children from a young age. And instead of being like, let's solve that problem, let's mitigate those consequences, they're like, let's create clones of us and rule the world forever by uploading our souls to a machine. And so I'm like, what? What is wrong with these people? And what do we have to do so that they can go away forever? Like, what do we have? Can we just... You know, they want to put us in a digital prison. Let's put them in a digital prison. They want to rule the world. They want to abuse kids. Let them do it in cyberspace, locked up in a jail cell, glue a Oculus Rift to their eyes, and let them have all the fun in the world as long as they're not bothering real people and real human beings, because we're trying to fix the crap that they keep saddling us with. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, become a subscriber, and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome back, folks.
Cut you down.
This is the Alex Jones Show, going through some of the consequences from the Epstein files. There's been a statement, a public statement made by LifeTouch Group, which is the school photo company we were just talking about. Excuse me. A public statement from Ken Murphy, LifeTouch Group CEO, on recent rumors around student privacy. They say this: at LifeTouch, student safety goes beyond the camera lens. As a trusted partner of schools for 90 years, we're committed to protecting the privacy and personal information of every student we serve. When LifeTouch photographers take your students' pictures, that image is safeguarded for families and schools only, with no exceptions. LifeTouch does not and has never provided images to any third party. And so they go on to say they follow all of the rules about maintaining data. LifeTouch never sells, shares, or licenses student images to train AI models, including large language models for facial recognition technology. LifeTouch has never provided images for such purpose to any third party. And finally, they say funds managed by subsidiaries of Apollo Global Management are investors in Shutterfly, the parent company of LifeTouch. Neither Apollo nor its funds are involved in the day-to-day operations of LifeTouch, and therefore no one employed by Apollo has ever had access to any student images. It's a good statement. I assume what they're saying is accurate. However, in my opinion, not good enough. Not good enough. What this should say is, out of an abundance of caution, and in respect to the genuine concern shown by our customers, we are divesting any money we've ever received from Apollo funds. That's what they should say. That's what should be happening. That's the way that you actually take down this network, is all the companies that they invest in have to come out and denounce that investment and give it back and say they don't want it anymore. You can't just say, oh, you know, yeah, okay, we are taking money from the, you know, abusive pedophile, but like there's a couple steps removed between us and it. It's like, well, you still have the money. You're still using the money. You still are involved in a corporation owned and founded by this guy. I don't think it's good enough. I just don't. Because I think we need to have the attitude that the left has always had. Do you think if it came out that, you know, Larry Fink was a genuine, you know, Roman throwing Nazi, do you think they'd say, well, but, you know, Sure, we take Nazi money, but we're really careful. No, they, as a, you know, symbol of their outrage, they would be willing to take a hit. Remember Adidas lost like billions of dollars canceling Kanye West? They're willing to do it to show how they felt. And Kanye West didn't make any 7-year-old girls bleed from their private parts, did he? No, Leon Black allegedly did. For some reason, the outrage over Kanye West simply mentioning the J word is more than the outrage over Leon Black being credibly accused of the most horrendous actions you could ever imagine. They go on to say LifeTouch is not named in the Epstein files. The documents contain no allegations that LifeTouch itself was involved in or that student photos were used in any illicit activity. Yeah, but you still take their money, so you have to stop taking their money now. You have to send that money back. It's also just like I feel like I've explained this over and over, but there's a reason that the icon of the Illuminati is a pyramid, right? Because if you can have these structures where Shutterfly owns LifeTouch and Apollo owns Shutterfly and BlackRock owns Apollo and Vanguard owns, then what you do is as you go higher up the power structure, you're dealing with smaller and smaller amount of people. So at the very top, you have a very small number of people or just one corporation or one bank controlling tens of thousands of people and operations underneath it. And it's just like, it's unnecessary. Is it really necessary to have a nationwide, you know, school photography company that gets all of the contracts? Like, wouldn't it make more sense that every school is in a location? You could have a company there that does it for that location. Like, wouldn't it be better if you had a bunch of small businesses rather than one gigantic one? But that's completely at odds with the values of the globalists, who will tell you over and over, everything should be consolidated, everything should be monopolized, and everything should be owned, you know, downstream from BlackRock, Vanguard, basically a couple of pedophile rapists. We'll be right back.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it. The health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com.
The leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And the colors of the sea find your eyes with trembling mermaids.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We still have a lot of news to cover in this hour, and then Jay Dyer will be taking over for the fourth hour. We've got Rob Dew and Rex Jones taking over for War Room. It's going to be a party. They have a ton of great guests as we continue to grow and expand and operate in the face of the most overwhelming lawfare that any corporation or individual has ever seen in this country, the most brazen misapplication of law and attempts to manipulate things, and yet we've been able to fight them back and expose them. And now we have just launched a countersuit that if there's any justice to be found, like this is a, it's not so much a Hail Mary because it's all right there. Like it all is proven out in our documents. We have all the evidence you could possibly need to make the case that we're making that our civil liberties have been restricted and in some cases outright eliminated by the process that we've been subjected to. It's all right there. And if there's any justice to have, then we'll be victorious and these people will go down, like with criminal charges, not just civil punishment. So we are now launching that counterattack. Stories at Infowars.com. Alex Jones files second amended counterclaim in bankruptcy court alleging constitutional violations and Sandy Hook defamation judgment. And we won't go into it here. We have a lot of other news to cover, but you can read the entire filing for yourself. You can inform yourself, arm yourself with the information. So you can tell people about this and let people know the importance of what we're doing here as we are attempting desperately to preserve some ability for the average American to speak out against the power structure no matter what. So I'm so happy that you've supported us this far, and I ask you to double down and continue your support of us as we continue to double down our operations. And we're only getting bigger. We're only getting better. And the proof is in the pudding, folks. I've said before, this is my ninth anniversary of working here at InfoWars. When I started, we had one little studio. It's the War Room studio now. At the time, it was the Alex Jones studio. We had a little podcast studio in the back. But every year, we have steadily grown. And the reason for that is because all the money that we get goes back into the operation. It's not cheap to build these studios. It's not cheap to manage the infrastructure. It's not cheap to get satellite uplinks and run our own servers so that we aren't dependent on YouTube and Google, who tried to destroy us by kicking us off in 2018. We've been able to build the infrastructure to survive this because you've gone to thealexjonesstore.com, and you can go there and shop confidently knowing that we're not wasting the money. It goes right, but you see where it goes. I mean, this studio wouldn't exist without your support. And if we were greedy scumbags just taking the money and running with it, we could have, right? We don't want to. That's not the purpose of what we're doing here. It's all about the mission. It's all about the information. It's all about getting it out there to as many people as possible. And it's all about explaining to people the underlying reality that's now being exposed in full technicolor by the Jeffrey Epstein document release. So please do support us, thealexjonesstore.com. We cannot do it without you, and we give you a great ton of great reasons to do it. All the products today are 52% off site-wide. So, I mean, all the supplements, if you take supplements, stock up now, 50% off. You sign up for shipping, there's additional discounts. VIP member, additional discounts. If you haven't tried something, you want to try it, now's the time to try it. And if you don't even like the supplements and just want the t-shirts and hats and really cool merchandise that we have there, that's 52% off too. So no matter what you get at thealexjonesstore.com, it goes to supporting this mission and humanity itself in our fight against the tyrants and the machines. But you also get a fantastic product, 52% off site-wide right now. And you're getting 2x the entries for both the cars. Right now, it's the crossover event, so you're entered to win 100 times for every dollar that you spend. You get 100 entries for either the Mustang or the F-250, the great Ford cars that we are giving away to one lucky winner. Somebody's got to win it. Might as well be you. You just got to go to thealexjonesstore.com and buy a fantastic product. Okay, with that, we've got one more thing to talk about with Epstein, then we'll move on to some other goings-on worldwide. Goldman's top lawyer departs amid revelations about her ties to Epstein. Kathleen Rumler, something like that, a former top Obama administration lawyer, is out at Goldman Sachs after emails showed a friendship with the sex offender Jeffrey Epstein spanning many, many years. Goldman Sachs top lawyer Kathleen Rumler, resigned on Thursday in the wake of Justice Department's release of emails and other material that revealed her extensive relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, the disgraced financier. Ms. Rumler and representatives for Goldman said for years that she'd strictly professional relationship with Mr. Epstein, a convicted sex offender, but emails, text messages, and photographs released late last month upended that narrative, leading to Ms. Rumler's sudden resignation, which surprised many within the firm. They're like, we thought we were above the law. We didn't know we suffered consequences for our decisions. That's for the plebs, for the goyim, as it were. But she's been forced to resign. And we'll move on now. But they're not doing a great job of covering all this stuff up. They're just really not. It's all coming out. More and more people are being exposed to it. And more people are understanding the true consequences, like the underlying reality that all of this is exposing. It's not about the details. It's about the bird's eye view and seeing the way our world really works, how the power structures actually operate. Now I want to go to some videos of a hearing that happened earlier today with Trump appointee Jeremy Carl. Jeremy Carl is an author who's written a book about the abuse that white Americans have faced in the last decade or so. And he's being questioned about his views on race and immigration and all of these things. Let's go to clip 21 here as he simply relates back to the Democrats their own words, and yet they're outraged. And we call this celebration parallax. It's a very... not a very catchy name, but it's a good one. Celebration parallax. You can say exactly the same thing, only if you approve of it, you're a good, decent, loving, liberal human being. And if you're against it, you're it's hate speech and it's bad and you're not allowed to say it. It's the same thing. You're saying exactly the same thing. It's just if your tone is negative, you're a bad guy and you're hateful. But if your tone is positive, then you're a forward-thinking lover of diversity. Let's go to clip 21 here, Trump appointee Jeremy Carl being questioned by the U.S. Congress.
What do you mean when you say that you believe in the great replacement theory?
Senator, thank you for that question. This refers to the intentional demographic replacement of Europeans in Europe. It was invented by Renaud Camus, who was a French scholar.
You think there's an active effort to, quote-unquote, replace Americans right now?
Senator, I think the Democratic Party, through its immigration policies, has certainly shown signs of that.
And I don't understand that. So you are saying that if more Americans are black or Latino Americans, that somehow weakens America because it puts whites in a minority?
Yeah. What? Yes. Duh. We should tape it up somewhere. The was a millennial woes quote. The hardest thing about talking to liberals is they pretend not to understand things. So you just can't talk to them. You just can't get through to them. It's like, you're saying to me that bringing in a ton of black and brown people and making white people the minority is a bad thing, and you're against that? I don't understand. You understand? What the hell are you talking about? Obviously you understand. You kidding me? Plus, why would we want to be made of? I mean, there's just I have trouble even responding to this because we have literally hours of Democrats themselves explaining this. We have former President Joe Biden, you know, America's not going to be majority white anymore, and that's a good thing. You're not shy about it. You advertise it. We're just supposed to be okay with it. We're supposed to acknowledge it and somehow accept that we're supposed to be made a minority in our own countries, that we're supposed to be replaced by foreigners, and somehow we deserve that? No, that's the most hateful and outrageous thing you could possibly say to anybody, and these people just say it as if it's normal. No, it's completely insane, incredibly offensive, frankly genocidal. What the hell is wrong with you? White people would never put up with this for any other race. If white people found out that Africans were being replaced in Ghana, you think we'd sit by and allow that to happen? Where's the respect? We can't get that same level of respect back. It's crazy. It really genuinely is crazy. And one of the craziest things is the idea that, like, you have to be white to even care about this. This is what I mean. When it's like, if you learned that people of Nicaragua were being crowded out by 10 million refugees from the Congo, wouldn't you be like, no, this isn't okay? No, the people of Nicaragua do not deserve to have their homeland swamped by a bunch of foreigners who then take power over them and use the government to exploit them. Like, that's wrong, and we would try to stop it. For some reason, when it happens in Europe, we don't even want to stop it. We would stop it for anybody else. We would be able to recognize what was happening, and we'd oppose it for everybody else. And in this, embedded in this mindset that they're trying to put forward is a bizarre and inverted form of white supremacy, where white people are incapable of recognizing that they as a race are under attack and are being genocided. They think that what can't happen. Again, it's weird. It's like this weird white supremacy where white people are just like, of course we can let the entire world into our countries. We're white. We can do anything. They'll never, you know, kick us out of our countries. We're white after all. It's like, no, you're just another group of people like every other group of people. You can also die. You can also be destroyed. Why are you not protecting yourselves? You are not invincible. We are not invulnerable. Stop acting like we are. It's not inevitable that white people just exist in the future. We're being murdered at a massive rate in a systematic way. And it's not just our existence in the modern day that is literally at risk of ending forever. They're destroying the history as well and making supposedly historical movies that completely destroy the presence of the English in England. We've been over this so many damn times. It's just absurd to have these people claim that they don't recognize the activity they themselves are engaged in. This is absurd. The only advice I would have is the great replacement is the label that they like using to criticize it because it did come from Camus, and they can say this is a theory. The great replacement theory. I think the much better phrase to use is replacement migration. Because if you search the phrase replacement migration on Google, what you find is the UN white paper about how replacement migration was the plan to replace white people in Europe, published in, I think, like 2004 or something. I mean, published years ago. Published in the year 2000 as a deliberate policy paper about what they were going to do. It's not a theory. It's a policy. It was written down, and now it's being followed, and the outcome is exactly as intended. It's not a theory. So the great replacement, it's a fine term, but I say replacement migration. That way, you're not talking about a theory. You're talking about a UN policy and a Democrat talking point, by the way. He got some other heat here. Trump appointee Jeremy Carl says the Democrats are trying to, that's the same one. There's another one here. Trump nominated a legit white nationalist to a top post at the State Department. Incredible. I can't believe it. Clip 23 here. So this is him being questioned about white culture. Again, it's hard to even comprehend what we're doing here. Because the Democrats every day are telling us about how bad whiteness is and how we have to destroy whiteness and how whiteness is a poison and whiteness keeps black people down. Whiteness, whiteness, whiteness. We're always hearing about it until it's time to defend it. And then it's like, what the hell does that even mean? That doesn't exist. Okay, you're liars. You just hate white people. It's really not complicated. Let's go to clip 23 now.
Tell me how you define white identity and what you think is being erased about white identity.
Certain types of Anglo-derived culture that comes from our history.
There's, like what?
Let me think about this. You know, Senator, I would say if you were to look at the book by one of your former Senate colleagues, Born Fighting, about the sort of Scotch-Irish military culture and certain, you know, pride that went with that. That would be one example. Obviously, you could have sub-elements of that culture. You could have Italians. You could have Irish. And those are in many ways more.
Yeah, but you're worried about white culture. You're not worried about you're now retreating to ethnic identity. You don't speak about ethnic identity. You speak about white identity. So tell me the values that stitch together white identity and that make it different than black identity.
I would say that the white church is very different than the black church in terms of its tone and style on average. Foodways could often be different.
Those are being erased.
Music could be different. Well, if you look at the Super Bowl halftime show, which was not in English this year.
So our ability to access white churches or white food or white music is being erased?
I am concerned with the majority common American culture that we had for some time that through particularly mass immigration, I think has become much more balkanized. And I think that weakens us. And again, I'm not running away from that comment. I'm not apologizing for it.
Well, I'm way over my time. I think you're struggling to answer this question, right? Because underlying your beliefs is a sentiment that white culture is just simply better.
It is. No, it is, though. White culture, it's better. No, it is. We shouldn't be shy about that. It's absolutely better. I mean, however you want to define it, European culture is better. All right, is that confusing to anybody? Why is everybody trying to come here? Because our culture is better. What are you talking about? We don't need to be shy about this. Our culture is like so much better. I did a report on War Room the other day after the Super Bowl talking about just the minor differences between Latin America in America. Culturally, we're very similar. We're both Christian. We're both republics. We have a history of revolution. Like, there's a lot that tie us together, but those minor things, they may seem minor, that set us apart, represent the difference between having a baseball field and a picnic with kids selling snow cones and having decapitated bodies hanging from your streetlights. I mean, it's a massive cultural gulf between what we're willing to put up with and what people in the third world are willing to put up with and willing to treat each other by. The other thing was a massive, there's a huge roundabout in Mexico City, and there's walls around the roundabout, and all over it are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures of individuals who have gone missing from Mexico City because there's a problem there where people continually are kidnapped or murdered or tortured to death by cartels or the government or a combination thereof. That's the world that exists with our corruption meter ticked up about 2 or 3 points. So yes, American culture, European culture, white culture is better. It's the best, actually. You're just lying if you deny that. I'm sorry to tell you. So we don't need to shy away from that. Now, when he's asked the question, what is white culture that you think is going away? You know, he didn't necessarily stumble on his answer, but it didn't quite come out that fluidly. I've got some suggestions. I've got some concepts of white culture that might differentiate white culture from others. Things like, I don't know, being quiet on Christmas Eve. That's one thing I miss. See, Anglo culture, white European American culture, is the night before Christmas, all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. It's quiet, it's calm, it's warm and comforting. Mexicans light fireworks off on New Year's Eve. It's a little bit incompatible. And it's not like both of these can exist next to each other. See, I'm trying to drink hot chocolate in front of the fire while I read stories to my children, and there are explosions going off in my front yard. It's not like I can have my thing and they can have theirs. No, theirs imposes on my thing and destroys my thing and doesn't make my thing possible anymore. That's American culture being not just degraded but utterly eradicated by the importation of foreign traditions. Do you understand? But you don't even have to take my word for it. I mean, what is white culture? I don't know. Tipping well in restaurants. Sitting quietly through movies. I mean, there's a lot of things, but you don't have to take my word. You don't have to take my view of it. Luckily for us, the good liberals, the lovers of diversity have put together a little list for us. It's called Aspects and Assumptions of White Culture. When did we start popping fireworks in Christmas? Houston residents left wondering. I have an idea. It's when all the Mexicans came in and decided they didn't give a damn about us, decided they didn't want to respect our traditions, decided that because we'd let them in, they were in charge now, and we had to submit to their traditions, not the other way around. It's not all that complicated. So if you want to know what white culture is, Harvard has put this together for us. White dominant culture, or whiteness, refers to the ways white people and their traditions, attitudes, and ways of life have been normalized over time. Yeah, in white countries. Do people forget that there are non-white countries? Whiteness, white culture, is not normalized in Gambia. It's not normalized in Tanzania or India. Duh. So here's what they say. Aspects of white culture. Rugged individualism. Family structure with a nuclear family. Father, mother, 3.2 children is ideal. Husband is breadwinner and head of household. Wife is homemaker and subordinate to the husband. Children should have their own rooms, but be independent. Yep. Other aspects of white culture that we have to reject and replace, by the way. This is supposed to be bad things that we're supposed to reject and change for some reason. What this actually is a list of is the tried and true traditions developed over thousands of years that through trial and error we have decided is just the absolute best way to be a human being, to raise a family that's safe and happy and prosperous. This is how you do it. You have the father work, you have the mother stay home, you have a couple kids, you give them freedom and individuality while still, you know, having them have responsibilities to the larger family group. Yeah, it's the best way to have a family. It's the best culture available. Do we need to bring in the chart showing sexual abuse between the races? Do we need to see which race has a more innocent family structure, more innocent behavior amongst children? Other aspects of whiteness. So rugged individualism, families, the scientific method, history. History is an aspect of white culture that they're trying to destroy utterly. A Protestant work ethic, you know, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Christianity, obviously, is the norm. Status, power, and authority, where you work and then achieve things and then gain respect and admiration from your wider community as you gain an importance there. That's terrible and bad. We should all be clans fighting and biting in the mud with each other if we want to reject whiteness. Future orientation, you know, showing up for work on time. if I sound like a racist here, no, I'm literally reading from a leftist, I think it was like the SPLC or something, or some Jewish organization in Harvard worked to come out with a list of whiteness to destroy, and it's all the best things in the world, because that's the little trick they're trying to pull over on everybody. What is whiteness? Oh, it's the Constitution and freedom and individuality and rugged, you know, independence. And we have to destroy that because whiteness is bad. We have to destroy the Founding Fathers and all of the freedoms that they gave you to defeat whiteness. Oh, look, whiteness has been destroyed and everybody's a slave. What do you know? Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month. But we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The
Patriot's choice and globalist's dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. Jay Dyer is going to take over in the fourth hour, and then Rob Dew and Rex Jones are taking over the War Room today. So very big slate of content we have for you the rest of the day today. I'm Harrison Smith. Of course, I usually host the War Room. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. And, of course, support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We've got a pretty disturbing update from a friend of the show known as Corn Pop from Maine. He's actually running for school board because he's been battling it out with the school board for the last couple of years and has decided to take them on head on. And he is pointing to another poisonous action by the school board there in Maine. Inappropriate LGBTQ plus propaganda shoved down kindergartner's throat in Pittston Randolph Consolidated School Library. A concerned parent just reached out to me. Their 5-year-old kindergartner in Pittston Randolph in Maine brought home a book called The Prince and the Knight by Daniel Hack. We should be furious about this crap. This quote unquote fairy tale has a prince dumping princesses to hook up with a male knight, slay a dragon, tie the knot in a same-sex wedding, and party like it's no big deal. Pure LGBTQ plus indoctrination from GLAAD aimed at innocent 4 to 8 year olds. How dare they push romantic same-sex crap and marriage on these children? The little one should be mastering ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, and playground rules, not getting brainwashed on sexuality without any parental heads up or opt out. This is outrageous indoctrination, not education. This book has been banned across America. It's number 5 on the ALA's 2019 most challenged list and pulled from schools in West Virginia, Virginia, Florida, and beyond for messing with kids' heads and spitting on family values. What the hell is our elementary library doing stocking this garbage and letting toddlers grab it unchecked? We parents demand transparency, strict age limits, and controls over what filth hits our 5-year-olds. So again, that's from Corn Pop. You can follow him at PWA1776. And yeah, it's literally just gay propaganda. Trying to teach kids that being homosexual is way cooler and more fun than being a normal, square, straight person, which is just evil. My son's 4 years old. If you're telling a kid about homosexuality as a 4-year-old, you should actually be locked up. Actually, that's another big topic of conversation. MAPS, minor attracted peoples, aka pedophiles, are starting to actually advocate for them. You know what? I'm not even gonna get into that because what even is the argument? Like, it's just pretty simple. Anybody advocating for MAPS, should be, thrown in the ocean with a millstone around their neck. And that's my official position. So that's as far as we need to go. But if you don't want to find the story, it's at redux.info. Transgender pro-pedophile MAP activists are publicly campaigning in Seattle. Redux has learned that a trans-identified male and radical queer activist residing in Seattle, Washington, has been publicly advocating for pedophilic relationships with children while also organizing, quote, in-person events for anyone under the queer rainbow. He has a program called Beyond the Plus, which advocates for the rights of, quote, beings who are romantically or sexually attracted to beings who are below the age of 18. We don't have to let them do that. We don't have to let them advocate for pedophilia. We are under no obligation. For some reason, we think we're like hamstrung or have our hands tied by the First Amendment, that like people who are literally advocating sexual relationships with children, it's like, bah, First Amendment, nah, I don't agree. No, I actually don't agree that we are under any obligation to put up with any of this crap, and it's not in any way a violation of our firmly held principled beliefs, because free speech is for things that are good and matter, and political activism about actual events, not trying to seduce children into having sex with you. Obviously, this is ridiculous. But we'll move on. Oh, God. There's so much that's just, I don't even want to, but you got to know. Victoria in Australia, launches digital birth certificate trial, linking newborns to Australia's national digital ID system. The government of the Australian state of Victoria is building identity infrastructure that starts at birth. The state has launched a digital birth certificate trial this month, turning paper documents into app-based credentials that link newborns to a national digital identity system before they're old enough to understand what that means. The pilot runs through Service Victoria's app, where parents can store a child's birth certificate as a digital credential for kindergarten enrollment. Three local councils are testing the system. Service Victoria frames this as a convenience, which it partly is, while constructing the foundation for a lifetime digital identity tracking that extends well beyond preschool registration. Story at Infowars.com. Sounds crazy to me, but at least it's better than what they're doing in Canada. Canada may start euthanizing babies. Canada's Medical Assistance and Dying Program, MAID, already one of the world's most permissive euthanasia regimes, may soon extend to disabled newborns. That possibility is reigniting horror among pro-life advocates who warn of a slippery slope towards eugenics. The Quebec College of Physicians recently told the British newspaper Daily Mail that it believes, quote, medical assistance in dying may be an appropriate treatment for babies suffering from extreme pain, and that, quote, parents should have the opportunity to obtain this care for their infant. This care for their infant. I think anyone supporting this program should be given the very same care they give to the babies. I think they should be given all of the care that they want to give to babies, I think should be provided for them. I think we should give them all the care in the world, as they describe it. I think they should be euthanized. Sorry, I don't want to make that joke too opaque. I think anybody actually in favor of euthanasia should be the first victims of euthanasia. I think that's fitting and fair. Do we need to translate this? Maybe we need to translate this, because what they say is that medical assistance in dying may be an appropriate treatment for babies suffering from extreme pain, and parents should have the opportunity to obtain this care for that infant. Translation, let's expose and murder the babies we don't like. Okay? That's all that means. That's all that means. So, what else is there to say? I mean, they just keep going. They just keep going. It's never going to be enough. They're killing poor people. They're killing people who have easily curable diseases because the cure is more expensive than killing them. They're killing almost exclusively white people. And now they're talking about killing newborns. Either killing them or hooking them up to a digital ID slave system that will create a digital twin of theirs for manipulation for the rest of time. So these are just some of the horrors beyond belief. This one's a little bit actually of a good story, in a way. It's a good and a bad story. But it's interesting, and it just absolutely demolishes everything underlying every concept the left believes. If you think I'm overselling it, I'm actually not. This is from Representative Josh Williams at Josh Williams OH on X. Black children in Mississippi are now performing better in reading and math than black children in New York and California, despite having much higher rates of poverty and spending much less per student. And the secret was simply not allowing children to move up a grade level unless they can read proficiently. It turns out that when education is prioritized over woke ideology, the outcome for our kids are better. Wow, translation, white supremacy works, folks. It's probably one of the things in that list. I'll have to check my list. I bet, you know, being able to read is on that list of whiteness that we have to expel from our communities. It's whiteness to think that you have to earn a grade that's passing before you pass to the next grade. This is all downstream from the white education system that we're forcing on all these non-whites. It's really not complicated. It's not hard. It's not confusing. It shouldn't be difficult for anybody to understand. What we're experiencing, I like to call diversity ad nauseum. That is, diversity being the supreme concern over and above all other concerns, to the point that everything else can be destroyed as long as diversity is served. Obviously, it's harder to pull people up than it is to push people down. Right? It's harder to get a population that's not succeeding to succeed than it is to turn a successful population into a bunch of lazy scum. So that's they're going with the easier option. They're always going to go with the easier option. Do I have to, did anybody think that it would work? Sorry, let me start that over. Nobody ever thought that this would work. Nobody ever suggesting, hey, let's get rid of grades, thought that that would be a positive outcome for the students. It was always just a racial deconstructionism that was taking place, where they saw the grades divided by race, and they saw black people or Hispanic people or whoever else, not Asians, obviously, because it's not about race, actually, it's about culture. But black and Hispanic people would score worse than white people on test scores, and so their solution to that was, let's stop scoring tests. I don't know how they sold that to anybody. I don't know how they made that argument in a way that was convincing to literally anybody. But the beautiful thing about that system, the beautiful concept embedded in this cycle, is that by dumbing everybody down, by getting rid of grades and deciding that comparison is racist and standards are oppressive white supremacy, then what they're going to do is come out with a population of dumber and dumber people, less and less capable of even understanding how we got to the point where we are, or seeing through the deceptive lies of the people who are telling them that they're working for them, that they have their best interests in mind, and yet whose policies and programs always and inevitably destroy the lives of the people they're claiming to help. So they come in to say, don't worry, we're going to help you. You poor, innocent, helpless, incapable black people that can't do well on your own. We're going to come in and we're going to help you by lowering our standards to your level and then passing you even though you don't deserve it. Is that a positive thing? Did they really help you? Or are they condescending to you and treating you like you're incapable of achieving what anybody else does? The nice, kind, responsible, empathetic, charitable thing to do actually is to bring them up, raise them up, apply the harsh standards, and then have belief and faith and confidence in them that they can achieve it. And then give them the tools and resources necessary to achieve it. But they're doing the opposite. They're pouring infinite amounts of money into programs to try to correct a problem that doesn't exist in racial, bias amongst the letter grade and the Scantron reader. It's ridiculous. But it's good that Mississippi has basically proven incontrovertibly the more helpful way to go is to actually just treat black people like you treat everybody else. Treat Hispanic people like you treat everybody else. It's actually not hard at all. It's actually not mean. It's actually very condescending and biased and kind of racist to think that black people can achieve the same as white people. I think they can. I think they just need help and a little bit of motivation. As in, hey, I better get this grade or I'm not moving to the next grade. If it's instead, it doesn't matter what grade I get, I'm always going to graduate high school, so who cares? You're not actually helping that person. You're just facilitating their failure. Mississippi children who lag or miss school days in some cases are pushed to attend after school sessions or Saturday school. And if they fail the reading test twice, they're pressed to attend summer school and will get one final chance to pass before fourth grade begins. If they fail that last chance, they normally must repeat third grade. Yeah, obviously. What is the point of school if you're not going to have benchmarks that they have to reach? It's just daycare at that point. So Mississippi spends significantly less than California or New York, has significantly worse problems with poverty, has a significantly higher proportion of their population that's African American, and yet they're doing a lot better, spending a lot less, because they actually just have faith in black people and actually want to hold black people to the same standards they hold everybody else, and the black people involved rise to meet that challenge and succeed because of it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an amazing thing? That's obvious if you just think about it for 10 seconds, because it's human nature, and we've understood this for literally hundreds of years. What's particularly impressive is that the Southern State Surge lifted student achievement with only modest budgets. Spending per pupil in Alabama and Mississippi was below $12,000 in 2024, while in New York, it was almost $30,000. That's worth celebrating and emulating, yet unfortunately, there's not much sign of that, because they don't actually want to help anybody. That's the thing you have to understand. They're just lying. because they wouldn't do what they keep doing if they actually wanted to help people, because every time they do what they want to do, it hurts everybody. So like, what, they would stop if that's not what they wanted to have. The purpose of a system is what it does. So New York and California spend more than twice as much than Mississippi, and yet Mississippi is outcompeting them across the board. And all of that is sort of the perfect runway for this next story. This video I'm about to show you, I got to be honest, it makes me feel sick to my stomach. And it's not because it's gruesome, and it's not because it's vile in any way. It's actually just a very good commercial. The problem is, I have like a sinking feeling in my stomach, because the Democrats have figured out a very brilliant propaganda strategy. They did it with Mamdani. They're doing it with a lot of people that were just elected, and they're continuing this, in that they use these very kind of cheesy editing techniques and video techniques that make people seem very human and approachable and normal and reasonable. And they present themselves while the Republicans are like, we understand what's really going on. And so we look crazy to people that don't, right? We're like, we got to save our country. We're like, guys, we're being destroyed outright. Everything's collapsing. We're being replaced in our own homelands. Like, it's actually accurate. It's actually appropriate. It's actually how we should be. But if you're watching sports ball and reality TV shows all day, if you're scrolling TikTok makeup tutorials 12 hours a day, you have no idea any of that's going on. And so the Democrats have found their perfect strategy of just have a attractive white person say the most basic stuff you could ever imagine, and then get elected and then start ruling like a communist czar. And I'm like terrified. The reason the pit's in my stomach, I'm terrified of how many people are going to fall for this, and how the ad I'm about to show you, to me, represents like, that's it. This is the death of democracy as we know it. It's over. Okay. I was already feeling that way a little bit when you have somebody like Keith Ellison, right, who's on tape conspiring with people who stole hundreds of millions of dollars, convicted for it. He's on tape collaborating with them and saying, I will protect you. I will cover for you. I will get the investigators off your back, but I need your support. I mean, caught red-handed. No shame, no admission from Keith Ellison. He just obstinately lies about it and just says, doesn't happen, never happened. We can play the audio. It happened. It's incontrovertible. It happened. He just lies outright. And the depressing thing about this is knowing that people are still going to vote for him, that we live in a country where a politician can be shown incontrovertibly to be in cahoots with people that stole hundreds of millions of dollars from the government, and people won't kick him out. They won't respond to it. They actually think it's probably a good thing. I don't know how we're supposed to run a country where half the population is fine with corruption as long as it's on their team. It can't exist. But this, I think, is even worse. But I think I've built it up enough. But it goes perfectly in line with everything we were just talking about, with the fact that everything the Democrats do has the genuine opposite outcome of what they intend. Whether it's California homeless, you spend $20 billion on homeless, and the only outcome is that there's significantly more homeless. You spend 2.5 times as much on the average student, and your outcomes are significantly worse. Every single time, they come in with this pabulum, with these talking points that are just utterly meaningless, and yet people just want to feel good about who they're voting for. So they're just going to vote for the person that makes the quirky video saying, I'm going to give you free ice cream. We really are at that point. So let's go to this commercial. Clip 28, this woman is running as a Democrat in Virginia. She's just as radical as Abigail Spanberger. And yet if you watch this video, she seems like a normal, down-to-earth mother/porn star. Let's watch. Yeah, 29.
When I get sworn into Congress, I'll be the youngest mom to have ever served. And I'm not telling you that to brag. It's because it's ridiculous. I mean, do you know the youngest dad to have ever served? Exactly. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I'm a former tank commander in the United States Army, and I'm a 29-year-old mom raising 4 young kids. My oldest actually turns 5 today. Some of them I grew myself, and others I have the privilege of being their foster mom. I'm running for Congress in Virginia to flip the seat blue from an out-of-touch man who's held it for over 20 years. He doesn't know what life is like for us. I do. Sure, I could come on here and I could read off my professional resume full of big titles and degrees, but you know the saying, if you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman. And my lived experience matters just as much as what's on my professional resume. Because I know daycare is unaffordable. I know buying a house is so far down the American dream, most of us will never see it. I am living this every day. I remember what it was like not being able to find formula in the grocery store, being terrified because I had a newborn at home. I know this reality because I live it. And if we want to fix it, we cannot elect politicians who are being paid for by these same companies that are making everyday life unaffordable for you and for me. I know our future is worth fighting for. And moms, we get the job done. Let's go, Virginia.
Just take your clothes off next time, lady. You might as well. Pull up the first frame. Can we pull up the first frame? Like, just pull up the video, but don't play it. And we just, it's like, okay, what you're going to want to do is put the camera right at crotch level, and you're going to want to, you know, have just, we just want to see just the outline of your vagina. Just the camel toe. We're going to get elected. Whoever has the best camel toe is going to get elected to rule our country, okay? We're going to have a swimsuit competition, and whatever busty bimbo can wear her skin-tight clothes as she babbles about, you know, formula. So she's going to win. She's going to win. It's like that Bill Hicks joke, which I can't even say because it's inappropriate. But even in the 80s, you know, he's like, eventually it's just going to be basically hardcore pornography. At the end, it'll say, drink Coke, right? That's basically what it's just. You might as well just post your OnlyFans, show us your tits, and then say, vote for me. I'm a mom. Okay? Now, the sad thing is, people are probably going to vote for her because of that. They're like, no, but she's sexy though. It's like, kinda. Not even really, but she kinda like, looks like a man to me, but what are we doing here? But what are we doing here? Because if you listen to that, sure, she seems like a whore. Okay, we can all acknowledge that. But what she's saying sounds perfectly reasonable. Now, let's zoom in. That's how you get elected these days. Like you, I mean, talk about idiocracy. How far are we until we're literally just electing porn stars? So it's literally just like, well, I don't know, but like she seems like she has pretty good fiscal ideas. And it's like, you literally are just horny. What is wrong with you? Okay, so we have basically a half-naked bimbo pretending to work out while flaunting her camel toe, and vote for me, it says. Vote for me. But am I wrong? When you saw that, can you not see millions and millions of people being like, she's so right, you know? We need fresh faces. You know, just like Abigail Spanberger. Ignore the fact that she's a literal CIA agent who's literally in the belly of the beast, like a part of the head of the Hydra coming in, and then immediately imposes the most draconian and insane socialistic communistic policies you've ever seen in the first week that Abigail Spanberger was in office. Because it's the Abigail Spanberger strategy. It's the Mamdani strategy. It's let's pay $1 million to a social media company to make a really nice video that basically just, you know, makes the private parts of our constituents tingle. And again, it's like, it's sad, but that's literally what it, I mean, ask. We actually showed it after Mamdani got elected, and it was all these women in New York just being like, I don't know. It's just, he was just kind of like handsome. And it's just like, oh my God. Yeah. No wonder we're going to lose, because you can literally just put a CIA bimbo in skin tight clothes and her be like, I know what it's like. I'm a mom too. I have trouble affording my things too. And then immediately you're hit with an energy bill that's $700 rather than $300 because they've decided to tack on 2 times as many taxes. But this is their strategy. So just know, this is what we're up against. It's going to be very seemingly normal, attractive white people saying very basic normal stuff about feeding your kids and affording your lifestyle, and then they're going to get in and they're going to rule like Chairman Mao, and they're going to destroy the country, and nobody's even going to realize it because they can see your vagina.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it. The health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultramethylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Knife? What knife? Are you suggesting this is a knife I have in my hand? Have you gone mad, my sane husband? There was a knife, but I lost it.
Isn't it fascinating how the timing always lines up like a rigged game of dominoes? Just as the Epstein files start spilling out their filthy secrets, names, dates, and depraved dealings that could topple empires.
There are code words that suggest Jeffrey Epstein and his associates could maybe even be engaging in some sort of consumption. Is that human consumption?
The media machine cranks into overdrive with blatant distractions and a minimization press.
That bomb squad vehicle just pulled back in, but the two SWAT vehicles and the mobile command center are still out there somewhere. We were made aware of a location that they might be traveling to.
Election fraud gets criminally exposed in broad daylight, with whistleblowers and evidence piling up like unpaid bills.
Normally you would expect to see a smooth curve going up, not any big spikes. That's kind of what Greg was talking about, the anomalies of loading and uploading those votes. So that big spike that occurs there is a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
And that's 604,000 votes in 90 minutes, is that right?
Correct.
Smartmatic has its office in Caracas, and it's co-located with the Consejo National Electoral, the National Electoral Commission. And there's 150 Smartmatic engineers and 150 CNE engineers side by side. And they have two missions. Number one, steal elections. Number two, defeat audit. Study audit. How do different states and different localities
do
conduct
their audits?
So that when they're audited, you defeat audit.
And suddenly the SAVE Act, that beacon of voter integrity, born of common sense, loses steam thanks to spineless politicians on both sides of the uniparty aisle playing footsie with the deep state.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought to the floor for a vote this week. What are your thoughts on that? Are you going to support the SAVE Act?
Not at all. It's a terrible idea. This notion that we want to put more obstacles in the paths of voters is just what Donald Trump wants, fewer people voting. I want every legal citizen in America to be able to vote without obstacles.
Do you think requiring an ID to vote in elections is making it harder? I mean,
it's more than that. It's more than an ID. It's proof that you were born in America. So what are we talking about, a passport or a birth certificate? Got one of those handy with you in your purse? I doubt it.
But no, we can't have the masses focusing on the actions of our overlords. Instead, it's wall-to-wall coverage of the Savannah Guthrie kidnapping saga on Fox News and every other propaganda puppet show with regurgitated monotony. But at least we at InfoWars can talk about the sheer volume of dirt they're burying under this avalanche of sensationalism.
Listen to me, because this isn't a reality TV show. This is entertainment. If this is handled wrong, we will have the Great Reset, and you'll be lucky if you're eating bugs. You'll probably be dead. And, of course, now it's come out. Lex Wexner, as I told you 15 years ago, was the CIA, Mossad, MI6, mega spy chief running Epstein for George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Barr, putting him on the Trilateral Commission when he's 30 years old, on the commission, not just a subcommission.
The Trilateral Commission is some spooky stuff. People said it was some of the people that, the Illuminati, there's some mystery about it, people that ran the world. It was politicians, but David said most countries, the politicians get elected for 4 years or 8 years, separate from the royal families in England or in the Middle East. Someone's there for 4 years and then they're not there anymore. The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three major continents. So it was the North Americans, the Europeans, and the Asians. So he said to me, would you like to be on the trilateral commission? Now, I was 30 years old.
That's because they have to have a guy trained and ready that's doing the job who will do exactly as they say.
Meanwhile, the propaganda outlets aren't just non-reporting. They are engineering consent, diverting eyes from the collapse.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program. The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And it's been a insane week. This has been essentially nonstop killer information of the most extreme forms. Something that it's, I think a lot of people are having a hard time dealing with this. Even myself, I've studied this for, you know, 20 plus years, and going into this information all the way back to the early 2000s, I think even this is hard to process. Even minute by minute, we're seeing the most just ridiculous, demonic, unfathomable, unspeakable horrors straight out of Hellraiser, like Alex said. It's hard to process, but what I want to do is we will talk about some of these more recent leaks, recent emails, recent digs and finds that people have come up with. But I want to zoom out a little bit and give you kind of another big picture scope to understand exactly this, the layout, what this
operation is, apparently what it was, and how that's how the world was set up by these sort of Bond villains to be a catch-22 where you could never really get up in this system without being compromised. In fact, there was a very controversial book written many years ago called Cannibalism, Blood Drinking, and High Adept Satanism by a guy named Kurt Barker, who alleged that he was brought up in this kind of a scenario. And a lot of times the victims, and I'm not trying to knock the victims, but sometimes they have very difficult to corroborate stories. But in some cases, the stories do end up corroborated. Obviously, elements of Kathy O'Brien's story seem very well corroborated. Elements also then of Kurt Barker's story also. He wrote a book, as I said, that was really kind of out there. It seemed a little much for most people back in 2013 or 14. But what he described is the exact sort of model of what the whole Epstein network consulting organized crime operation appears to have been, including things that we wouldn't even fathom as part of today's polite society. Or even the wicked, we wouldn't even think about them doing the types of things that ancient Babylonian religion did, right? Human sacrifice, partaking of the flesh of human beings, etc. It seems just not part of reality. It seems like something out of a story or something in the past, the distant ancient empires or something like that. But the thing is that that sludge, that dark occult religion continued from the ancient world even up to today. In fact, even in the Old Testament, the Israelites were not immune to this. In fact, they fell into this very practice in many, many centuries. And according to the book of Deuteronomy, that's in many cases why they end up chastised and losing their nation state. For example, in the story of the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah records that this is because the Jews were falling into the temptation to sacrifice their children at the Valley of Hinnom, which was a place where they would burn their children in effigy. We know the Israelites fell into the worship of Baal Peor, which involved bizarre sex rites and menstrual fluids, bodily fluids, etc., all those kinds of things. And that didn't go away, right? Ezekiel, for example, talked about, he was given a vision where he said that he saw the high priest having a secret room sort of underneath behind the wall in the temple, perhaps tunnels, and that he was engaging, they were engaging in weird occult practices and demonic practices. And this religion that was secret had a cloaked cover of public normal worship of God that kept it kind of a Gnostic inner secret circle. That religion didn't go away. It sort of passed into today through secret societies and cults throughout the ancient world in the Middle Ages that were suppressed through Christian laws. In the Middle Ages, Christian laws tended to keep, I'm not saying that those were perfect societies, but they at least made a lot of these practices illegal, made them unnecessary, or made them basically liable to criminal penalties. And even to the point of death in some cases if you're engaged in witchcraft and these kinds of things. And that's because they may not have been widespread, but they did exist. And so it was necessary to have even the state involved in suppressing these kinds of activities. If you study the medieval heresies, the kings of that time understood at least that heresy and weird cults and secret societies weren't just bizarre satanic practices. They also had the possibility of becoming a political revolutionary force. That's exactly what happened with communist and socialist movements like Joachim of Fiore. He was a proto-socialist, or Thomas Munzer of the Munzer Rebellion. He was a proto-socialist who influenced many Jacobins and French revolutionary socialists. So when we get up into the modern period, though, what nobody would seem to would think to connect is the idea of bankers, intelligence, and cults. Those domains just seem totally foreign. They seem like what would those three things have to do with one another? Well, if we get into the history of the Rothschilds as a family, in their biography they brag within the first 50 pages that they were able to successfully game the stock market after the Waterloo event. And by doing that, they could buy up the stocks for pennies on the dollar when the market crashed based on advanced intelligence. So they understood hundreds of years ago that banking is essentially intelligence work. We don't think about it that way. We think of banking as boring dudes, you know, doing ledgers and graphs or something and usury and loans. And certainly that's all part of it. But the real scheme here that allowed certain banking families to rise to prominence, particularly when the original Rothschild sent out his sons throughout Europe to set up banking empires, it wasn't just to have a business. It was to set up an empire that also had private intelligence, that had private networks of spies and blackmail. Those things always go together. Usury, sodomy, blackmail, those things are always connected because they go together when it comes to ruling a society by debasing them, degrading them, and getting them to be controlled via their base passions. That's why those things always go together. And that includes the idea of democracy. Even ancient philosophers understood that democracy was a way to control the masses by very cunning oligarchs who could convince the population that lowest common denominator, appealing to the basest desires of the most, and thus debasing the society more and more, allowed the oligarchical elite to have more and more control. And that's not just Jewish. It's also in the domain of Plato. Plato talks about this. That's his critique of democracy. But the same idea passes into other secret societies and networks that have a revolutionary ethos. And of course, this is part of Talmudic religion. Talmudic religion does believe in an in-group, out-group situation where there's a preference for the in-group and a desire to have a separate morality for the out-group versus the in-group. So you can engage in trickery, deception, lying, etc. to those in the out-group, and you prefer and give the benefits to those on the in-group. Many groups do this. So it's a common pattern. I'm not saying that's only the Talmudic approach, but it is a Talmudic approach. That's very obviously there. We have many rabbis now clipped all over everywhere admitting all this. They say this openly. So it shouldn't be a surprise that we find in the domain of intelligence and banking in that history of Europe, the Rothschilds come to prominence. They become the most powerful banking dynasty, particularly in the 1800s, around 1700s, 1800s, even to the point in 1830s where they're giving loans to the papacy. They become the official papal bankers in 1832. And after that, they subsequently loan many, many sizable portions to the papacy, probably to get it entwined into a kind of a debt relationship. And that's not an accident given the transgressions and the deviations that we've seen the Roman Catholic Church via its papacy do, not just at Vatican II, but even before that, being on the hook for many of these Rothschild loans. This also explains, as we said, why when we get up to Jeffrey Epstein, fast forward a couple hundred years, Epstein's doing the exact same thing that the Rothschilds did when they gamed the stock market for Waterloo. Epstein is saying, I work for the Rothschilds. I'm an attaché, a representative, a legate of the Rothschilds. He has deals with the Rothschilds. He says, I represent them and I'm going to invite you in, Peter Thiel. I'm going to invite you in, whoever else in Silicon Valley. We want to bring these people in. We want them in the web, in the network. That's all explicit now. And it's not just getting tech heads and tech elites. It's also reaching out and getting celebrities, getting politicians, heads of state, getting academics, scientists. I think one of the things that surprised a lot of people was the close connection that Jeffrey Epstein had as this sort of weird seeming occultist, perhaps influenced by Kabbalah figure. But he's also hanging out with all of the top atheists. So the new atheist movement, the four horsemen of the atheist apocalypse of the early 2000s, people like Dawkins, Dennett, Krauss, and others have a very close relationship to Jeffrey Epstein. We don't know that they necessarily did anything per se, but again, the point here is that it's culture creation. Jeffrey Epstein is directly involved in culture creation. I wrote three books starting 10 years ago about this very topic, and the very first chapter deals with the movie Eyes Wide Shut and the close relationship that it bears to reality in terms of masked balls. I'm not talking about testicles, but the masked ball of that you find in Rothschild mansions. And now with the surrealist art that you see in the Rothschild masked balls from the 1960s and 70s, these very famous pictures, we're beginning to see that this notion of cannibalizing and degrading and debasing people, compromising these people, this has been in the films. It's been in movies for decades. Our eyes were wide shut to actually understand what the movies were about and what we were being told. And lo and behold, now it's all out there. Every single element of this that was, you know, a really controversial topic to discuss, child trafficking, ritual abuse, absolutely unspeakable things with toddlers. I mean, it's all there, and it's all real. So we've got to come to grips with that. We got to understand that. But I really want to impress upon everyone that it's not new. This is something that's been going on for a long time. A lot of that stuff in the, prior to modern technology and the information age, it was more suppressed, lesser known, but it's all, again, an ancient practice. It's all very real. And if we think about, say, again, the, Rothschild banking system, this was a network set up all throughout Europe, but also in the U.S. People don't understand that. They think that the Rothschilds were really in Europe, and then, you know, the Rockefellers and J.P. Morgan, et cetera, Vanderbilts, and those families were prominent in the U.S. And that's certainly true, but a lot of research has been done by historians to make the case that J.P. Morgan was actually a Rothschild front. And that's not far-fetched, given the fact that official biographers of Cecil Rhodes make the point that the De Beers operation and Cecil Rhodes going down to Africa to set up the diamond operations, that was literally all by Rothschild money. So even Cecil Rhodes was a Rothschild front. I think he got two million or so pounds back in the 1800s from the Rothschilds. The Suez Canal was a Rothschild operation. Benjamin Disraeli was a Rothschild front, according to his own and Quigley's estimation. So we're noticing a pattern here of, you know, you had Lord Jacob Rothschild there with Marina Abramovich standing in front of Lucifer. You've got the surrealist art going on here with these characters. There is always a sort of a preference, too, by the way, for weird surrealist satanic art, postmodern art. And you see that also in characters like Man Ray. And you'll notice it, I was on my YouTube channel, we did a live stream going through the reconstruction of Epstein's New York mansion and looking at all the artwork. And of course, we can't read a whole lot necessarily into artwork per se, but definitely you can find people's interests and proclivities to some degree through the artwork. And when we look at the artwork, what we find is a lot of satanic imagery, a lot of occult imagery, a lot of human sacrifice imagery. In fact, Epstein was involved in procuring a painting that was the sacrificing of infants. And a lot of the artwork that Epstein has in his mansion includes things that are surrealist, including severed women's torsos. And why do I make a connection there with the art and the symbology there? Well, Man Ray was the surrealist artist that was very popular back in the 30s and 40s, who was believed to be associated with the circles of the Black Dahlia case. And that was Elizabeth Short, the first ritual murder case that was known in Hollywood, where they found her dismembered body laying on the side of the road. And the body was sort of, the torso and things were posed in sort of artistic style poses. And the reason that's relevant here is that there were very similar styles of surrealist torso severed art that Epstein had throughout his mansion, including a lot of what appeared to be sort of underage looking things, very just bizarre, surrealist and satanic looking artwork everywhere in the estate. Not surprising. We saw the same thing with the Podestas and the just bizarre, gross stuff that they were into, including a body reported in the Washington Post that was appeared to be bent back in the abnormal pose that Jeffrey Dahmer supposedly put some of his bodies into. Total Hannibal Lecter stuff, by the way. And if you've never seen the show Hannibal, I'm not necessarily recommending it, but it just happened to be that my wife and I were watching the three seasons of Hannibal, and it's a very gruesome show. I don't know if I can necessarily tell you to go watch it, because it's hard to watch at points, but as we're watching Hannibal, I'm like, this is the Epstein stuff. This is fiction, but this is reality. It's like literally the same stuff. And weird thing with Hannibal, in the show, he's actually a sort of mind control handler. He's mind controlling different traumatized individuals as a psychiatrist and manipulating them into also becoming serial killers and sort of being his mind controlled slaves to do everything you could think of. So again, fiction a long time ago, I think that show came out in 2014 with Mads Mikkelsen and Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, fiction is telling us in many cases what's really going on, just like Eyes Wide Shut, just like The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp. And speaking of The Ninth Gate, fascinating to see that Roman Polanski's lawyers were going to meet with Epstein. So Epstein was trying to get some of the same networks that, again, tie into wild PDF cases. And if you don't know, Roman Polanski is the famous director that had to flee to France because of the situation with an underage girl back at the time of the Manson murders. Keep in mind, too, I think InfoWars put up my little mini documentary video that I did on the movie Eye of the Devil, one of the few movies that Sharon Tate was actually in. Again, a really wild situation of perhaps coincidence, but also perhaps intentional occult murder. Sharon Tate, who died in the Manson murders, you know, was pregnant with Polanski's child. She played multiple roles as a witch. She was in a film with Alex Sanders, the famous witch, consulting on it, and that's where she was inducted into witchcraft. I put that in my third book. And then she went on to do a film called Eye of the Devil, where Donald Pleasance plays a satanic priest who has a cover or a front for a large, famous village run by a French prominent family, aka it seems like the Rothschilds here. And he's a Catholic priest who pretends to be a Catholic, but the village and the family are Satanists. They practice human sacrifice. And the craziest part, again, is that in the film, Sharon Tate becomes a willing human sacrifice. And this is not too long before she actually, presumably, seemingly is sacrificed. Yeah, you're showing the film. I think that's a clip from Leonardo DiCaprio in Tarantino's last film about the Manson murders. And again, interesting tie-in, because that film also kind of gives an alternate version, or a questioning perhaps version, of what happened in the Manson murders. And again, we know that there were satanic connections to the Manson murders because of Squeaky Fromm, I think, and others were involved in the networks that Anton LaVey had set up. But I think with Manson, you definitely have some kind of mind control CIA operation going on there, tying into organized crime. A lot of people believe that there were also compromised tapes that a lot of celebrities were involved in that perhaps were the basis in part for the murders that Manson engineered. But to go back to Epstein, again, we have Epstein in the domain of Hollywood, Epstein in the domain of culture. We saw fascinating insights that Epstein wanted to be involved even in video games. He wanted to look into things like Call of Duty and how to get, I don't exactly understand it because I didn't play Call of Duty. I played a little bit, but basically getting people to engage in microtransactions within Call of Duty so that you get addicted to spending money and not saving money. Right? So just really wild ideas of gamification and tokenization of everything. Perhaps the casino gulag, like Max Kaiser has talked about for so long. That's something that Epstein seemed to be interested in. Thus also his interest in crypto and trying to put money into a lot of different early crypto ventures, experimenting with, but he would spread his money kind of everywhere. He would put money into transhumanist things, cloning, genetic engineering. And of course we had the top email come out today that everybody's talking about, which is one of the nobility of Europe saying to Epstein, look, we're going to be very close to having genetically engineered children. We won't even need wombs anymore. So here's Epstein fully involved in the transhumanist movement, fully involved in what Aldous Huxley wrote about 100 years ago in Brave New World, saying that we won't need wombs anymore because we'll have basically test tube babies. This was a plan, something that they engineered, and he's fully on board with the Fabian socialist technocratic agenda, as I've been saying, and that's not antithetical to the Zionist or rabbinic agenda either. Those things can absolutely go together because it's the same attitude. The earliest founders of the Zionist state were all socialists. You have people like Moses S., the father of utopian socialism. Chaim Weizmann, Theodore Herzl, these are, you know, non-believing or quasi-atheist, pantheist socialists. And they believe that the nation state of Israel would be the future salvation of the world once Israel became the dominant power in the world. And to engage, to get to that stage, again, I think they, well, we've seen that there are, they have no qualms, no morals, no compunction to get to that. It's absolutely just unspeakable stuff that we're talking about here. And if you doubt that, well, think about, say, organized crime, because really the best way to understand the Epstein operation is to have a good understanding of the mafia and organized crime. One of the first fourth hour talks that we did here on the Alex Jones Show 6 years ago was on the history of organized crime in America and how that's the pattern for understanding the Illuminati or Jewish crime, Jewish networks, any of these, David Rockefeller as well. It's not just a Jewish, it's all of these entities in criminal syndicates tend to work together. To understand that, it helps to understand organized crime. And we think about it as the Sicilian Mafia, but people don't know, and I've interviewed some of the top living Mafia people out there, like Sammy Bull Gravano. The people don't know that the Sicilian Mafia was organized by the Jewish Mafia. Did you know that Lucky Luciano went and consulted with Meyer Lansky about how to network the Sicilian Mafia in the United States, how to set it up and structure it? He got a lot of that idea and information and bookkeeping from, you got it, Meyer Lansky, the famous Jewish gangster. And I found an interview that was on YouTube. It's pretty amusing. It's only about 5 minutes. You can go watch. It's an interview when Meyer Lansky, he fled to Israel, shocker. And he was in Israel and he said that the world press was oppressing him and attacking him and it was all unfair. And the journalist was asking him, are you an organized crime figure? And he says, I don't know nothing about organized crime. What's this? What's the mafia? I don't even know what that is. Never heard of it. Funny because the J. Edgar Hoover in the famous, congressional hearings said the exact same thing. They said, is there a Cosa Nostra? I have not, nor have I ever known, nor heard of, nor is there any such thing as Cosa Nostra. What is that? Who? What is this? We don't know. So the government lied, the mafia lied, they all lied. And are we surprised that the government is still lying and covering up these things, a.k.a. the absurdity of Pam Bondi saying, look at the Dow. Who cares about gigantic satanic networks of criminals raping children? We have high stocks. This is
we're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is the fourth hour. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of JaysAnalysis.com. I want to remind you, if you want a deeper dive, I've done every single day almost this week, multiple hour live streams on every one of these really insane next level email dumps. So got about 20 plus hours this week or more, maybe 30 hours now of live stream material on the channel, going through one by one each day as new information came out. So as we were discussing, we were getting into transhumanism, we're getting into cloning, the Zorro Ranch, which really seems to have been covered up. The Zorro Ranch stuff is pretty wild. If you think about it, you wouldn't want to assume that a organized crime figure would be into transhumanism. It doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Sammy the Bull Gravano, for example, longtime organized crime figure, he's not really into cloning and becoming HAL 9000. But when we look at the character of Jeffrey Epstein, the reason for this is what Alex keeps playing, what I honed in on right away. We did a live stream of the entire Bannon interview. We went piece by piece, picking out all the relevant details with Bannon and Epstein in that older interview. And the most important part was at the beginning when he said, I was 30 and I was brought into the Trilateral Commission. That's a high-level steering committee that was created originally by Kissinger under Rockefeller for Zbigniew Brzezinski. So they recruited Brzezinski. And the reason for that was because Kissinger said, I read his Between Two Ages about the technocratic era that's coming. And I want to set up a special steering committee from the CFR members for this guy. And that's the origin in the 1970s of the Trilateral Commission. So something akin to Bilderberg, something akin to the CFR, another one of these high level, you know, non-governmental, but somehow also governmental steering committees like Bilderberg, right? That is involved in world policy. And it's not accidental that he says the reason I was recruited into that is because I understood fractional reserve banking. That is the ability to loan out more money than you have in the reserves. Within the first few hundred pages of Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley says that for hundreds of years, this Rothschild banking system and network used this trick to take over Europe, to take over the Western world. They would lend out more than they had in reserve through the gold note system. And then they would charge usury and interest on those loans and then buy up real assets and gold for centuries, back when there was a gold standard. That system is a giant layered onion layer of scams, scams within scams, right? And Epstein seemed to be very proficient at that. If anything, he was a high level, I would say a PhD in criminal operations consultant. That seems to be his real skill set. He wasn't at the top of the pyramid, but he was pretty high up. He seemed to have people in some emails perhaps telling him what to do. But in other emails, it's kind of like you're kind of surprised, like at things that they don't know. For example, the Ehud Barak conversation that Mike Benz and many people covered, that whole audio exchange was fascinating because here you have a high-level organized crime figure explaining to Ehud Barak Prime Minister of Israel, former Prime Minister of Israel and intelligence operative, explaining what Silicon Valley is all about, who Peter Thiel is, and what Palantir is. That's it's a fascinating conversation where they're trying to understand and spell the word. So they had a hard time with Palantir. But at the same time, I mean, no regard for grammar. You know, is the worst grammar you've ever seen in all these emails. I've spent a whole 10 days or 11 days now in these emails. It's like sometimes the grammar is so bad you don't even know what they're talking about. It's like, is this code or is this just crappy spelling? But, you know, thousands of emails about really suspicious, hundreds, I should say, perhaps hundreds of emails about really suspicious terminology, code words. We've covered all that this week, so I won't rehearse all that. But again, to go back to banking and transhumanism, this is the really key component that Epstein seemed to have had an understanding of fractional reserve banking that he could explain to people at a very high level. And that was one of the reasons why he was put into the Trilateral Commission. But you don't get there unless you've already had some degree of OSS CIA recruiting. And that's what we have with the Dalton School, Bill Barr, and that early spotting. And that's also connected directly, I think, to the Maxwell Ghislaine operation and the Rothschilds. Again, we know that Maxwell himself was actually another Rothschild representative. He was taught by Rothschild, represented their empire in the art of corporate takeovers. That's the thing that Maxwell specialized in. And so when Epstein was at Bear Stearns, there's a insider trading scandal. Epstein doesn't get in trouble, but his partner does. This seems to lead to the recruitment and advancement of Jeffrey Epstein into these other higher steering, higher level committees. This vindicates everything that people like us in the conspiracy world, Alex and others, it's not even conspiracy. It's just real geopolitics. It's real on the world or on the ground, real world operations and networks. That's how they work. They work like a mafia. You have to understand organized crime to understand that these people are no different than the Sicilian mafia. They're just at a higher level. So things like the Bilderberg Group or things like the Trilateral Commission, they operate like organized crime syndicates. Exactly. The structure, the methods, the techniques, the dork orts that they use, whether it's blackmail, compromise, assassinations, it's the same stuff. It's literally just like Spectre. If you think about the James Bond film recently with Daniel Craig, it was about 2015, the one called Spectre, where Bond is facing off against Blofeld, and it's Christoph Waltz that plays Blofeld in that episode. If you recall, there's this excellent scene where he infiltrates a Bilderberg style meeting, and you get the impression this really is kind of Bilderberg. And you have all these organized crime figures sitting around a giant table in Rome. It looks like the Club of Rome type of meeting. And, you know, Blofeld is sitting there all darked out. You can't really see him. And they're listing off their crime stats like business. They're like, so we've had an upwards tick 40% in human trafficking this year. And somebody else said, we've had 4,000, you know, money laundering cases that have benefited us by $14 billion. So it's like they're listing off crime stats like a business meeting, but it's organized crime. And that's what organized crime is a business, right? That is a business. This is a international high tier business. And if you understand it that way, that's what Epstein is. He's a high-level consultant, multiple links to intelligence, believed he was thus untouchable because he was in that untouchable intelligence-protected role. I think that's why he didn't worry too much about how he spoke in the emails. For some of the most extreme stuff, it does seem like they're obviously using code, right? Jerky, the grape soda, pizza, whatever. Other code words are being used. But in some cases, they seem to be so brazen, they don't even use the code. You know, in the case of the really horrendous situation with the girl that was calling out to Jesus that they were joking about torturing and wanting to dress up like Jesus to further traumatize her. The sulfuric acid being ordered in large quantities, presumably to also get rid of bodies. Multiple email references to and messages referencing tunnels at most of the properties. So not just the island, but other properties also. He seemed to be wanting to have networks. What does that remind you of? Well, remember when Ted Gunderson was investigating the McMartin preschool case, everybody made fun of people in the conspiracy world and Gunderson himself for talking about tunnels. Well, lo and behold, when the FBI declassified the McMartin case, They had documents admitting, yes, we did find tunnels. And yet the media covered that up and made fun of anybody talking about this stuff, just like Stephen Colbert covered a lot of these things up, made fun of anybody talking about international pedophile rings, international cult rings. That's all been mocked by all of these mainstream people to cover up for these people because they're all tied into and work for these people. Now, I don't know necessarily if every single person like a Colbert or whoever, I don't have any information that they did anything per se, but they don't have to because they're paid shills and propagandists to cover up for this establishment network that is destroying the West. And they do that by design. That's the key point here. This network, this window shows us the thing that legitimate researchers, legitimate conspiracy theorists who are really just espionage theorists, geopolitical analysts, what we've been talking about for so many decades now, multiple decades, in the case of myself, Alex and others, Alex obviously more than me, longer than me, but I learned all this from Alex and he was right. The stuff he was saying over all these years was 100% spot on. So Alex has been vindicated. I've been vindicated. But unfortunately, we're vindicated about something that's horrendous. So it's a bittersweet situation. But how do we fix this? What do we do about it? We got to understand what this is. We still don't have enough people understanding this. A lot of boomers, for example, are out there saying, it's time for the country to move on. Just repeating what the talking points have told them to repeat. Fox News is not even aware of this. The only thing that matters is a woman being supposedly kidnapped. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I don't know. I haven't even followed it because what does that compare to this? This is the biggest story of our lifetime. And amazingly, the algorithms have basically created multiple realities for different people. So if you're a boomer, this isn't even a reality to you. The algorithm is giving you a totally different reality that some other boomer was kidnapped or something. And there's a letter, you know, ransom note. I don't even know, but like, what does that compare? And that's terrible if that happened to that woman, but how does that compare to the entire Western world being subverted by a criminal cult network? I mean, it doesn't compare because this is why we have the wars. This is why we have the false flags. Ghislaine Maxwell being invited to a shadow 9/11 commission. What the hell is even that? To quote the meme, what is it? We don't even know what that is. What is that? A shadow 9/11 commission? Epstein is in Ukraine a month before Zelensky, and then Zelensky is asking in text messages for Epstein's consultation on how to run stuff and overthrow Putin. I mean, this guy's involved in everything. There's emails where he's over here talking to Peter Thiel about overthrowing Middle Eastern countries, and this is how you profit from it. Rothschild's emailing him saying, we're going to buy up Ukraine. We're going to profit from it. The Greek debt crisis, the bailouts. How do we profit from that? How do we buy it up? Greek fire sale, like Max Kaiser talked about. It's all been vindicated. From all the way back to the original insider trading problems and scandals that he was connected to at Bear Stearns, that his buddy went to prison for. 2008 housing collapse, he tells Bannon that he's in the prison making phone calls to the executives. I mean, if you've watched Goodfellas, if you remember, Paulie is in jail cooking meatballs and he's running the family operation. Epstein's like in his jumpsuit doing his daily phone call to the Lehman Brothers, you know, CEO or whatever. It's like, this is crazy. This is how the world really works. Yes, it is. So without understanding that it's not the politicians typically that run the show, it's the steering committee members, the shadow government. This is the shadow government that we're talking about. It's a breakaway national security apparatus that's a lot of corporate private individuals and bankers, not James Bonds out there assassinating people. That's a lower level thing. The real power structure is bankers, corporate people, and modern intelligence agencies come out of banking. Now, if you go back to like early World War I or prior to that, there were banking intelligence operatives in terms of Rothschild. But when we think about intelligence, that was thought of as a military thing, right? It's the military that does intelligence. The difference here is that this is private intelligence, and that's much more cunning and much more effective for what we're talking about in terms of subverting and taking over in a shadow government than it is to have a public military intelligence kind of thing, right? A wartime military operation. This is a perpetual private banking created intelligence operation. And that's exactly what the intelligence agencies come out of. They come out of bankers and Wall Street. This is a book written by a Council on Foreign Relations member that we're working through on my channel called The Old Boys. And it's writing about and talking about these older networks, just like the Rothschild networks, where you have bankers setting up intelligence agencies. In the case of the OSS, Rockefeller had a huge influence on that. And British intelligence came and set it up. Eventually, there's an alliance between the Zionists and the WASPs. It's called the WASP-Zionist Alliance. So when Quigley was writing, AIPAC, for example, didn't have as much influence as it has now. So it's not that he was ignoring that domain or that element of the power structure. They had not achieved that much power in the 1960s when he wrote Tragedy and Hope. But there is the implication that steering committees, NGOs, think tanks, foundations, and intelligence agencies, they all have a much greater role in running the country and setting policy, especially at the tip top is the Federal Reserve and the private banks there and the Bank for National Settlements, which is the international private bank of private banks. Those have a lot more power and influence than the government and the public officials. Now, it's not that the public officials and the civil servant people don't have any influence. Rather, they have a much lesser influence and impact than the people on those steering committees, the people that have the ability to assassinate, to blackmail, to compromise. And this is not anything new. If we think about Epstein, it bears the exact same structure and pattern to so many similar cult, sex, op, blackmail operations that we have seen over the years. In fact, I think I tried to list many of these, and I forgot some of them because there's so many, but we have Jimmy Savile, the elite UK procurer, the disgraced BBC radio shock jock guy, very close to the royals, given a papal knighthood, very close to John Paul II, as apparently Jeffrey Epstein was in several emails. By the way, people are trying to debunk this and decry this. Gordon Thomas's book, Gideon Spies on the Mossad, that came out in 1999, a lot of the claims and information that this mainline historical journalist researcher did in 1999, many of those claims have now been vindicated. Nobody else is talking about Gordon Thomas's book. It's been vindicated now via these Epstein revelations. He wrote that Mossad history in 1999, talked about Mossad having a relationship and a role with Princess Diana. Well, lo and behold, turns out Epstein himself hung out with and met Princess Diana. There's speculation in some articles that he might have even been tried to pair up with Princess Di. We don't know. But we do know that he had a specifically secret, hidden, framed article about Princess Di and the divorce. So presumably he believes he had some role in that. And there were articles coming out at the time that he might have had a relationship or wanted to have a relationship with her. So we have Savile. We have the Franklin cover-up, right? The Franklin cover-up implicated a lot of high-level GOP lobbyists, people like Craig Spence. They had a estate wired in D.C. where young call boys, right, were being filmed with political people to blackmail them. And the Franklin cover also connected to Larry King in Nebraska and high-level satanic ritual abuse on record. So you can check out Nick Bryant's book on the Franklin cover-up. I've interviewed him as well. The Finders case, again, human trafficking, weird cults, sexual abuse, and presumably selling children on an international market. And that involved the CIA or members of the CIA covering up and protecting the Finders case. We have Elm Guesthouse. Situation where in the UK, British intelligence has a guest house, aka house of ill repute for flucies of the evening to implicate, and not just flucies, also male prostitutes to implicate and honey trap high level British politicians, many of whom have of course been exposed over the years as famous PDFs and even worse. Cyril Smith, Lord Mountbatten, a lot of those characters were into the worst imaginable stuff that you could think of. And Elm Guesthouse was part of this scandal because people were being compromised there. And who was there behind that? Well, it appears British intelligence had wired this guesthouse to entrap high-level people. We have the King Cora scandal in Ireland, another situation where you have ritual sexual abuse. We have the Nexium cult with the Bronfmans being involved on record. The court case shows that with funding this Hollywood-connected sex cult through Keith Raniere. And that included a lot of famous people, a lot of even, I think one of the heads of state in Mexico was directly involved in the Nexium situation with Keith Raniere and his cult. We have the many, many, many Vatican ritual abuse cases, and I don't think it's accidental that not only does Epstein have a time where he went to the Vatican with Ghislaine and, according to several emails, got architectural oddities from John Paul II that he put in his house, as well as planning trips for Pope Francis. So there seems to be a definite connection there, which, again, lines up with what Gordon Thomas says in his book about Gideon spies, that all the way back in the 1970s and 80s, Mossad was very interested in establishing some kind of bugging relationship to bug the Vatican. No surprise there. But also setting up a relationship with John Paul II. And they appear to have been somewhat successful with that, because it's under John Paul II that the Vatican eventually recognizes the nation state of Israel. So you can look at Gordon Thomas's information on that, because it was the Mossad that really organized that and helped get that going. So why would it be surprising that Jeffrey Epstein, thus having a CIA, British intelligence, and Mossad role, why would it be surprising that it is a close relationship to John Paul II? I mean, he's on the Trilateral Commission Steering Committee when he's 30. Of course, he's going to have connections to high-level prelates. And when he describes the inner workings of the Vatican Bank, well, that's another indicator that he understands the inner workings of the Vatican. He even says Benedict XVI stepping down. This is Epstein explaining this to another banking economics guy, Larry Summers. You would think Larry Summers would know this, but Epstein is the one explaining to Larry Summers how the Vatican Bank works. Why does Epstein know the inner workings of the Vatican Bank? Well, it's because, obviously, because he's an intelligence agent type person, fixer, consultant, but also because he understands organized crime. This proves Gladio. So Epstein has the same attitude that I've explained about the Vatican Bank and Operation Gladio as one example of an entire country being compromised, according to Paul Williams's book on it, who's an FBI consultant, through Kissinger. Kissinger set up the structure of Gladio to compromise basically all of the prelates and the politicians to basically run Italy. And they did that to ensure that Italy would not go socialist or communist during the Cold War. Now, I'm not pro-socialist or communist, but the way that, according to Paul Williams and the Gladio revelations in the 1990s, 80s and 90s, the way that Italy was compromised was through bunga bunga parties, orgies. And if it's Vatican prelates going to orgies, I doubt that it's women. I think we all know what that would have involved. And again, who's running that? Licio Gelli, Michele Sindona, right? Licio Gelli being the highest Grand Orient Lodge Mason, the P2 Lodge. This is all public on record, brother. This isn't even conspiracy. This is public. And Michele Sindona, who was the mafia syndicate guy. So you have a Mason, a mafia guy. And according to Paul Williams' research, Kissinger is the one calling those shots. So Kissinger would tell Sindona and Licio Gelli what to do. They would then tell the prelates and the Italian government what to do. And Epstein says, basically, I learned about the Vatican Bank then, and that this inner working is the most secretive bank, along with like the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements, that's perfect for laundering money and doing these operations. Now, why would that be surprising? I mean, John Paul II established this close relationship with not just the Mossad and the nation state of Israel, but presumably it appears now also Epstein himself. So again, it's all there in books that nobody reads. People don't read anymore, so they don't know what Gordon Thomas wrote back in 1999 about this relationship. We have the Diddy case, right? Diddy is apparently a smaller, lower level type of thing, but the same pattern as the type of thing apparently that with Diddy that we know Epstein was doing. We have the Peter Nygaard situation, right? Nygaard is involved in obtaining stem cells, paying for stem cells, wanting to get the blood of the youth and, you know, sort of ambrosia, like Alex talked about. That seems to be what Nygaard is into, and presumably also with Zora Ranch. Now it appears that's what Epstein was up to as well. You want to have this other operation with baby farming. John of God, exact same thing with John of God that appears Epstein wants to do with Zora Ranch. We have the Dutroux case, right? The Dutroux affair, all the way up to the highest levels of the Belgian elite, including prelates of the Catholic Church, including government officials involved and implicated in graping women in castles, putting them in cages, all the worst stuff that you can imagine. And who gets in trouble? The one that's the low-level procurer. So who takes the fall? Well, Saville, Epstein, Dutroux, these are the people that take the fall. And on, the Presidio case with Michael Aquino, right? All of these infamous cases bear the same patterns and structures of organized crime level stuff. It's just that Epstein is at an international Blofeld Bond villain level operation. Get my book, Esoteric Hollywood, at jasonallison.com in the shop.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione. And just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.